Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. And that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Morning, everybody. Today is December 7th. It's cloudy in California. It's raining. We have never seen such a thing. That means climate control is real. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. Normally, we have it's hard. I've been on the air for a while, and it's really hard to find things to talk about. It's hard to get excited about things to talk about. I get bored having topics that doesn't go anywhere. I mean, it's good opinion, but it doesn't move anything forward. Trump supporters are Trump supporters, Democrats are Democrats. Nothing happens. We speak our opinion, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't have a point. You believe what you believe in, I can't change your mind. But sometimes that subject can get me really excited because it can maybe wake up someone, and this is one of the subjects. And this got me excited. I haven't slept because I was really thinking about this. Topic, title, African Americans, they're third world thinkers in a capitalistic American society. I read what I wrote. This is all me. Is the body of the show. African Americans are still slaves in the 21st century. You are. You're slaves. You are uneducated slaves, misinformed slaves. Even in the 21st century, you're still living in bondage and slavery. Blaming the man, blaming Whitey. Always the victim, because things didn't go your way. The excuses keep us way back in the 1800s. Example, still read the ad, or my copy. I spent all night thinking about. The mindset of black people is amazing. We're always looking back and never ahead. Always blaming someone, always being a victim. That's who we are. Always blaming something, someone, because we could not achieve or could not achieve things. Pathetic. We get into, we kind of confuse you. Somebody sets a seed in our head, and it's usually some dumb asshole. But African-American people tend to jump on a bandwagon, and therefore, we become assholes. We can go with the critical race theory. My first thought is, who the fuck cares? Who cares? Who cares with you getting so diverted and so consumed about what they're teaching your kids in school, or the truth about Thomas Jefferson, or the slave owners that we carry in our wallet to pay for groceries? And you're so offended that you take down statues and anything, Confederacy, anything that can have some kind of innuendo of slavery. We're so offended of it. We must get rid of it. But yet, if you look in your wallet, you got slave owners there. You got Benjamin Franklin, you got Washington. If you're so offended, give me your money. They're slave owners. Don't carry money in your wallet. You should be offended. Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. Those are slave owners in your wallet. It's called money. But you're not offended with money. Those slave owners and what they represent, it's okay. We got to have more of those slave owners in our wallet. We got to have more pictures of their faces in our wallet. It buys us stuff. They're okay. But please don't put up a statue that can offend you, or a flag that may offend you, that bring you back to slavery. This is the mind of a dumb fuck. And we will explore it. It's a stupid thinking of the African American that keeps us where we are. And we didn't think of this. Who puts this stuff in our mind? I mean, it just doesn't pop up that we're dumb fucks. It didn't pop up that we're stupid and we're uneducated and we just don't know things. And all this came about, bear with me, because I'm tying it together. I've been having this show for 10 years and I never talked about this, and I'm a black man, and how dare I speak of this? The reason this came about is that I went to get a physical. I went to get a checkup. Haven't had one in about 10 years. Decided to get one. And as there was a running theme going on that I did not catch. When you're going to the doctors, you're listening to the doctors, and they're telling you about your health. But you're not catching the running theme. And each doctor that I went to, because I went to one doctor who refers you to another doctor, and you get tests, and you get blood work, and it's another, so on and so forth. So between four or five doctors, it was a running theme. And here's the last one said. By the way, I'm healthy. But here's the last one said, "Well, Mr. Jackson," I go, "Yes, doc. I'm looking at your charts here." "Good. You seem a little high in this department," meaning I tested a little high in this department. And I go, "Okay." And this happened to be a urologist. I go, "Okay." And we had to talk. That I'm thinking most African-American people have not had this talk. And he says, you know, he asked me about my history. I gave him my history. Okay. And then he said, your PSA. Okay. When I hear PSA, I'm thinking it's a public service announcement, but okay, we're good in medical terms here. This is a little high. Very high, Doc. Wait for it. Well, for most Americans, yes. African Americans, no. And I'm thinking, what are you saying? Now, before I got to him, there were three other doctors. Same thing. They didn't really quite elaborate on it. Come in, he goes, you know, you're getting your checkup and you're getting this, and they ask you questions. And, of course, if you're filling out the form, but they don't bother reading it. They'll just look through it as they talk to you like they're being busy. And then they go, oh, you're African American. Well, let's look over here. I go, what? Let it go. These are three other doctors. And now I'll go to another one and goes, oh, you're African American. Yeah, do this. What? So the last doctor, and going back to the last doctor, the urologist, and he goes, this is a little high. I go, okay. He goes, normally, we should be worried about this. I go, okay. But you're African American. And now it's getting to me. And I have to ask the question, what does that mean? And they were uncomfortable telling me what that means in the medical profession, that you're African American. And right away, you know, you're getting on that chip on your shoulder, okay, this is racism. Seriously, I'm not even joking. I want to know, what does that mean? How come every time I go, there's a chart that says African American for white people and for black people? And guess what? There is. There is. There is a certain chart for white people and for black people. So my doctor proceeded to tell me, the urologist says, you know, are you concerned of this or are you concerned of that? I go, I'm not really concerned of this and I'm concerned of that. But now that you bring it up, I should be concerned of this and that. And I'm going to tell you what it is without telling you my health, medical health, because you can't skirt around the issue and you got to know what I'm talking about. So he says, I'm a little worried about this. And what this was, my cholesterol was high. He goes, okay. He goes, I want you to do some blood work. I said, I did blood work. He goes, I want you to do some more blood work. I go, okay. And then he goes, we took your blood pressure. I go, hey, yeah, that's good. It's a little high, even for African American. And there it goes again. I go, what does that mean, Doc? Well, it's the diet of the African American. We kind of lowered it a little bit, or we edged this, and you know, this is usually how it should be, but for African Americans it's a little higher, so we give it a pass basically, because that's how you guys are. Never mind about being human. Never mind about being whatever. We are separating you as an African-American male versus a white male, and that's how we're going to treat you. Now, you may be, either some of you know this, or some of you have your mouth wide open, but it's a fact, Jack. So I'm listening to my urologist. He goes, it's a little high, it concerns me. I go, does it concern you as a black, if you were a black man? He goes, well, let me put it to you this way. And I go, put it to me this way, Doc. If you're concerned about this, so he started mentioning the word prostate cancer. And he goes, if you're concerned, I go, yeah, I am concerned about that. I should be concerned about that. He goes, okay. Just to check where I was and where my head was. Yes, I'm concerned about that. And he says, well, we could do two tests. I go, talk to me, Doc. Well, and then he said the word again, the A word. Well, African Americans have this problem with prostate cancer. I go, we do? I had no idea. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are African American. I never asked them, hey, how's your prostate doing? Hey, dude, man, my prostate's cool. How's your prostate? What up, man? Hey, my prostate's good. What? We don't have that conversation. And you know what? We should. Because white people do. Brown people do. They have that talk among themselves, but we don't have that talk. We don't have that talk about mental illness. We don't have that talk about our general health. We do not do that. Why do we do not do this? Because the truth is really ugly, because we don't see the doctor, and we don't see the dentist. That's foreign to us. If we do, we're too busy putting gold in our teeth or bling on our face or a diamond ring in our tooth, which we think is cute. So as we have that talk, he leaves the room saying, here's what we can do. He will say, we can run a blood work. All right, doc. Or we can do a biopsy. What the fuck is a biopsy? You're not getting anywhere near where I think you're getting there. He goes, well, you're African-American. Yes, I am, doc. We established that. Well, what we can do is if you're worried about this, which everybody should, we can do a biopsy. He says, I recommend the blood test first, and then what the blood test will tell us is that your percentage of getting prostate cancer, the blood test will just tell us, it's not going to tell us the accuracy of you're going to get it, but the percentage that you could get it. And if we get a high percentage of that, then we should do a biopsy to give us a more significant test of if you have it or not. Cool. And then I thought that was it. And then he says, would you mind? This is all true. I'm not doing a bit or anything. I'm just saying to the doctor, if you're going to go to the doctor, here's the doctor's experience. Then he says, Mr. Jackson, very nice. Very nice. Like he's my best friend. Very polite guy. Mr. Jackson, yes, doc. Would you mind doing me a favor? Just nice like that, right? Like past the pretzels or the cheese. I go, sure, doc, you're a nice guy. I'll do you a favor. You gave me some information. I appreciate this. He goes, would you mind dropping your pants for me? And I said, okay. I trust the doc. Maybe this is the thing. I knew where I was going to. I kind of knew what I was going to expect because they told me if it's your first visit, prepare to get the finger up your ass. But he didn't warn me. He didn't say, hey, Mr. Jackson, guess what? Okay, now it's time for the rectal examination. Would you mind? You know, he didn't do that because he was a nice guy. He gave a surprise attack. And because I'm warning we're going to get there. But he just floated in the conversation like, hey, Mr. Jackson, hey, doc. Can you stand up for a minute? Sure. You know, can you pull your pants? Sure. Go, doc. I'm looking at him straight in his eye, and he's looking at me straight in the eye. And he goes, would you mind leaning over a little bit? Sure. And I'm in front of him, eye to eye, and I lean over, you know, in front of him, and he goes, no. I go, what? He goes, again, the conversation was so relaxed. You didn't see this? He goes, would you mind turning to the table? I go, oh, okay, the table. And would you mind leaning, you mean like this? And right away, way up there. It was no warning, no how you do. It went up to the third freaking knuckle right up. I screamed, holy hell. I even said the word motherfucker. And then we had a little tangle. He goes, lean. I go, no, lean. He goes, I go, doc. I'm not going to go into everything else. But it was very uncomfortable. After it was done, he says, okay, your testicles are fine. You look fine. You look healthy, blah, blah, blah. again. I'm thinking for an African-American doc. He goes for an African-American, which got to me, which goes with the story here. And as they left the doctor's office, I started thinking about civil rights, and I started thinking about the African-American community, and I started thinking about me, and I started thinking about everything, Black Lives Matter, everything. What have we done? What have we accomplished? Where were we going to? And I really started to think, and I started to look really hard what we're really talking about. And I started to examine that I'm watching CNN and versus Fox. I only seen Fox News a little bit. And then I started going back in the history that when the Republicans were the one who freed the slaves and the Democrats were the one who were the oppressors. And I really started to think, and I started thinking time has changed. And now when I see CNN and or I see MSNBC and I see people like Joy Reid on MSNBC or the Black Anchor people, all they're talking about is slavery and racism. That's all they're talking about. It could be anything. It's slavery and racism. And why are we still thinking about the past when we should be looking ahead about the economy and bringing ourselves up and about medical, and Black Americans should know about this? And then I started to get upset. I was up all night, and I really was thinking. And when I wrote this, it was thoughtful. It wasn't about a bit. It wasn't about to shock you. This is about Black people, us. We have been listening to bullshit. And if I want to say the most, and I'm a Democrat, if I want to say the most racism, when I look at CNN or MSNBC, that is the most racist channel ever, because even Fox News, when I tune on it a little bit so I can get some information, they're not talking about racism. They're not talking about this and that. The only people talking about racism are on the left-wing channel. And everything leads to racism. They want to get us up. They want to get us stirred up. They want to get us pissed off. They want us to march in the street. Not Fox, but CNN. They want to get us this. They want to get us that. And we're falling into this trap. Now, I can go on and on and on. There's 347 and a couple of people in the studio. They may be at work. I don't want to keep them on hold. I wanted them to come in because I still want to go on. Because somebody needs to wake us up. 347, you've been waiting so patiently. I'll get to you 111. 347, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson.
Hey, Brian. Hey. It's Hotep. How are you?
Hey, Hotep. Good to hear your voice, my friend. Good to
Same
hear your
hit.
Voice.
Thank you. Hey, listen. It sounds as though the doctor may have gone too far in and affected your thinking.
Okay. Could be. Could be.
No, listen, let me tell you why. Fox News is not going to talk about slavery because they're about removing critical race theory. It's almost like Nazi Germany. We can't expect the Nazi Germans to talk about the pain of the white Jews, who are the converts, by the way. They're not the originals. They converted a few hundred years ago. So that argument isn't logical. You don't expect rapists to talk about the rape, generally, about the future. The reason Black, brown people and people that are Dalits, D-A-L-I-T-S, in India, talk about their experiences from the past is because how else do they go forward without getting more punishment, without getting more brutality? By exhibiting the historical fact that the Dalits in India, for example, were put as the lowest caste when the Aryans from the Iran region, it's not all of present-day Iran, went in and made the darker humans less. The reason us Black, brown people usually bring up slavery when it's relevant is because without showing the white establishments and the Blacks that don't understand the issue, what has happened to us, just like they bring up George Washington, they bring up Columbus, why can't we bring up that we were raped and lynched and worked in the nation for free to make it rich and still to this day are underpaid compared to our white colleagues if we're fortunate to get a job or get the contract. So that's why we bring it up. What you're presenting is that we shouldn't bring it up because it is irrelevant or it's not an issue today, and it still is an issue.
I think it is irrelevant, and I think we're heading into the voices are at the wrong direction. When we're talking about CRT, critical, and by the way, I love you, Hotep, you're my brother. When
oh,
we're talking
good.
About,
we gotta get a woman sometime. Ooh. I know your mind goes there, so I just, you know. No, but yeah.
Well, you know, I will go into a little details why, and I'm glad you're here, man, because I really need to bounce off on you. But wait a minute, 111, you're live on the air. If you're at work, I want to get your voice in. If not, if you just want to listen, that's cool. 111, you're live on the air.
I think the key word here is point counterpoint. You got Hotep up there, you got me, and that's what you're going to get if you want it.
Okay, Sarge. Welcome to the show, Sarge. Great to hear your voice. Hotep, Sarge, you guys think along the same line. Thank you. And I'll go on so you guys.
You know, Brian, I'd like to answer, if I could, the question you just posed a moment ago, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, and that's, why are they constantly rehashing the past and presenting not a warts-and-all version of history, particularly United States history, but a warts-only version of United States history? And it's really simple. Look at all the furor over the 1619 Project, some of the worst history to ever win a Pulitzer Prize that I have ever read. Simply horrifically bad, literally factually untrue in every respect, and I've got it all right in front of me. I'm looking at it. I've read it, and believe me, it is horrid history, really bad. It takes kernels of truth and distorts other things beyond recognition. And you got to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Look at what's going on with the Jussie Smollett trial. I mean, you would think that in a country that is so rampantly racist and hate-filled, you know, the laws of supply and demand would apply. You would think there would be no shortage of genuine hate crimes with which you could, you know, magnify and bring to the forefront. But no, they've got to manufacture them. They're literally, the demand's exceeding the supply. And, I mean, it's not just Jussie Smollett. That's the most prominently public one. I literally have hundreds of examples of hoax, fake hate crimes, starting with probably the most famous of them, Tawana Brawley, coming up through today. I mean, it's beyond belief. And you got to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this?
Okay, well, there you go. There's Hotep right there.
Can I quickly say
that? Right there.
And
I know what he's going to do. He's going to launch a personal attack on me because he can't.
Can I tell the lieutenant to step back for a moment, please? Because he presents.
Right.
He is using English language in a very slick way.
Hotep, it's Sarge. Sarge, Hotep.
Oh, yeah, he's my nemesis.
There.
Okay. Yeah, we go back a ways, man. I suspect it might be a little, shall we say, torrid in a few moments.
What Lieutenant does often on radio is he changes words. He just says Jussie Smollett, what they do. What he's suggesting is that the black community and our liberal supporters colluded and supported Jussie, when that is fallacious and a fraud. What he often does is he'll find examples to counter black people's empowerment, but he won't find sufficient examples to prove black people's pain in this nation.
All right, would you rebut anything I said instead of talking about me and my motives?
Now let's go with Sarge.
I mean,
Sarge,
no, he won't. I guarantee it's going to be clinical theory on Sarge for the rest of his arguments. It won't be
Sarge,
what I actually
order.
Say.
Let the host
It'll be clinical
talk.
Theory on Sarge. Sarge,
okay,
clinical theory.
Okay, Sarge, your ethnicity is African American. Am I correct, Sarge?
I've been black all
outside.
My life and intend to stay that way until I die.
Okay.
On the outside. But not
just
in the
for,
mindset.
Here we go, because he did it again.
I
can't
did that. Oh, my God.
Can I tell you why
I
do it?
I think it's rather instructive as to where
Sarge,
he's coming
we got your
from.
Point.
As to how
the
many
reason
times
I
he does.
Address, can I? The reason I address your mental state is because your mental state.
There we go.
State,
now you're the psychiatrist.
Fit.
You see what
here
I mean?
We go
this
now.
Guy, it'll be this way from
you
now.
I mean?
He's a mentalist.
He's
a psychiatrist.
Me that I can't
he's
say
a prognosticator.
The truth.
He's got crystal
he
ball.
He will throw out words. but will not let me finish because what I'm saying hurts him like it hurts his homeboy, Donald Trump.
He will not redress anything because he really can't.
See? Can't have, I won't let him finish the point.
Let me have a word, and then you guys can, because I'm just going to finish what I just wrote in. You guys could chime in because, again, I was thinking at the doctor's office. This is what I wrote. And you're not going to like it, but this comes from me and my thinking. The mindset of black people are amazing to me. They're always looking back, never ahead. Critical race theory, slavery, complaining that what we don't have, you owe us. Example, crime is on the rise. What do black people say? Defund the police. Why defund the police? So we can get away with the crime? California has a law. If you steal under $950 worth of goods, it's a misdemeanor. And you know why they raised it to $950? It used to be $550, but they raised it to $950. Because the jails were so impacted with black and brown, they had to clear out the jails for the pandemic. They raised the amount of how much you could steal before you go to jail. Another example. California, you saw it on TV, that you saw all the smash and grab bullshit. And I'm looking at it, all I saw was a sea of black people. All I saw. And I hate to tell you, secretly I'm saying, where's that one white person? Just give me one white person. I didn't see no white person. If there was a white person in the group, please put him in the front so when they take the picture. There was a sea of black people. They arrested 14 smash and grab people. The sheriff came on the air. Well, we finally got and apprehended 14 people who committed burglaries in Beverly Hills and blah, blah, blah. And he was so proud. His chest was popped up. He was so proud. He came on 24 hours later, and he was depressed. And he says, we had to let him go. They let them go. We can't put him in jail, everybody. Governor Newsom says, no, we cannot do this, so we let them all go. That's true, California. It says here, California has a law. I already told you about the $950 thing. It's a misdemeanor. We all heard of white privilege. Yeah, we heard of it. I'm telling you right now, I'm with a white woman. And I look at that, and I hear what she talks about and things in the family, and I go, damn. I couldn't get away with that shit. But do we hear about black entitlement, which I made up? Yeah, there's such a thing. And let me give you an example of black entitlement, and I put it here. You know, God forbid if a white person disagrees with a black person nowadays, they're called a racist. If a white person sees a black person acting suspiciously, God forbid don't call the cops on your cell phone because you can be labeled a Todd or a Karen. If you buy a rap song that has the word nigga in it, please don't sing that song in public. That's right. It's racist because that's called black entitlement. And this is what I'm really serious about. We are the last in everything. We're the last in health care. We are the last in investment. We are the last in owning businesses. We are the last in education. We are the last in family values. And the worst embarrassment, and I like Claiborne. I like Claiborne, the representative from South Carolina. But in my head, when I saw him with his black face with Pelosi celebrating Juneteenth, I vomited for 2 days. This is the worst embarrassment that black people, that you put on black people, that we're going to celebrate this as a holiday. Are you fucking kidding me? And I'm looking at this, and black people are falling for it. Yay, we got our holidays. And if you really know what Juneteenth is about, I'll put it to you. It's funny. I looked at it in Wikipedia, and I couldn't believe what I saw. And it says Juneteenth is a National Independence Day for black people. It's known as Jubilee Day, Emancipation Day, Freedom Day. And that's a lie. It is not. What Juneteenth was, is about Texas was still harboring slaves. 2 years after slavery, was 2 years after the emancipation, but Texas still kept slaves. And then finally in Texas, 2 years later, someone got the bright idea in Congress saying, wait a minute, are you still doing slavery? They go, oh, you better stop that shit. And they go, okay, let's free them. We're going to free the slaves. 2 years later, after slavery was over, Texas was still holding, and we're going to celebrate that day as Black Independence Day, meaning 2 years later you held us as slaves, but you didn't tell us shit, and we've been free for 2 years, and you're going to call this Emancipation Day, and black people bought this shit. And now we're going to celebrate something negative. We're not celebrating Charles Drew Day, the brother who invented plasma to save many people. We're not celebrating Rosa Parks Day. We're not celebrating any of these positive people in our history day. But we're going to celebrate Juneteenth. That's the day that Texas decides to free us after 2 years when we should have been free. And you're sitting there with your black face, Claiborne, and Pelosi just singing like she's in a black church choir, clapping her fingers, her hands, saying, yay, this is going to be the national holiday for black people. Aren't we tired of taking these scraps and taking this bullshit? Why are we celebrating something negative? Why are we celebrating something that 2 years we've been enslaved in Texas, and we're celebrating that to Texas go, hey, niggas, you run free now. We're celebrating that as our national holiday? You got to be goddamn kidding me. Go ahead, Help Tab. Go ahead, Sarge. Let me have it, and that's it.
May we please have some order between the other he and I so that it doesn't
okay.
turn
All right.
into
I'm going to give
a,
you guys some order. You will. Don't talk.
Yeah, I'll go first, and then him, or he could go. I don't mind.
Then Sarge can and I will ask Sarge, does he want to reply or move on to something else,
yeah.
and vice versa.
Yeah, because there are other listeners. If we were at a bar and he and I were drinking, it would be different. But I don't drink much, by the way. But there are listeners that are trying to change their lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So the reason Juneteenth is important is because many slaves in Texas didn't know they were free, right? Without such celebrations, what would occur is we would gloss over the fact that there was still so much obvious racism in America, that there were groups of black people that were still slaves. So it's not a tap dance celebration of, yo, master, we're free. But it is a reminder that America was so racist that it allowed, because they knew it was happening, many areas of Texas to have slaves that should have been freed by the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. Regarding your, and I'll be brief because I know Sarge has some things that he'll say to counter what I'm saying to support the white supremacist system, so he'll have his chance. Your show, the introductions after your experience with the doctor, which I think may have had a negative emotional experience in your brain, because, you know, it may have triggered some things, because what I read was basically a support of white nationalism. Because the way it's written, you didn't mean it like that, but it comes off as though, what are black people complaining for? They don't need to speak up on these issues. They're always looking back, talking and nagging us. Just move forward. Meanwhile, white Jews can talk about the Holocaust, even though they aren't the original Jews. The Irish can talk about the potato famine. Japanese can talk about the bombs we dropped on them. But for black people, it's always this thing of, even though we built the country for free, many of our people were lynched and raped. When it comes to us talking, we can't talk about it like the American Civil War. They can talk about that, and we can. The slavery, that's off the board. Things aren't as good as they seem, and Jesse Smollett is not a good example to masquerade as though Jesse Smollett represents the entire black community. He was a selfish actor that wanted to do something to get attention. Sarge said he can list 100 or more cases like Jesse Smollett, and then the only other case he listed was a young lady, Tawana Brawley, who probably was raped because one of the cops even killed himself. So now Sarge will come and present his support for the white supremacist system. Thank you. This is Hotep. Love you. I will continue listening.
May I respond to that, sir? Hello?
Oh, definitely, my friend.
I'm with Brian. Now, Brian's the host. You got to give me permission here.
Hey, you have the rope to hang yourself, Sarge. Go on.
Maybe we're not hearing if you're responding, Brian. So maybe you ought to check your comms
okay,
there because
I will respond to that. Sorry, I had to go downstairs.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got your go ahead to go ahead.
Was that sexual you were talking
you like
about?
To,
going downstairs.
But Sarge, if you like to comment right now before I do, please go ahead about Juneteenth.
No, sir. I will. I serve at your pleasure here on your show, sir. If you want me to go now, I'll go. Otherwise, you can respond
sure.
to what Otis said.
Sure. And then I'll respond after you. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay.
All
good.
Yours.
All right. First of all, let's understand something about Juneteenth. Juneteenth is important because it's a significant chapter of American history. So I would never try to denigrate it, and I won't, and I never have. I would like to put it in context, though, because context is always important when you're examining history, something that the critical theorists on the left almost never do. They simply use history to advance their agenda. If you look at the facts of the history, Emancipation Proclamation was, strictly speaking, a military provision that depended on its enforcement entirely on the advance of Union troops. Texas was the most remote state in the Confederacy. It was furthest away. It had the least infusion of Union troops throughout the war, the Civil War. The fewest federal troops went into the borders of Texas. So relied on an enforcement for the advancement of Union troops. They simply weren't there. And the slavery did not end in the Union states that had slavery. It didn't end in Delaware and Maryland because President Lincoln had no authority to end slavery, at least under the Constitution. He had no authority to end slavery in Delaware and Maryland, but he did have it in the states that were in insurrection or rebellion. So the reason that Juneteenth came to be was because the slaves had to be notified that since the Union did technically occupy Texas, that now Union military government applied, and now, according to the president and his wartime proclamation, the people were now free. It was also largely a result of the relatively primitive communications of the period. Not every place had a telegraph, and certainly not every place had messages to get them there. The significance of it was the notification of the Emancipation Proclamation. And remember, slavery was not ended until the 13th Amendment was passed in December of 1865. Juneteenth occurred in June of 1865. So again, like I said, context is kind of important when you're studying history. And I know leftists don't care to. They just care to just throw it all into a mismatch of a horribly convoluted narrative that only serves to show this country has a horridly racist pustule of something that's not even worth celebrating. None of its legacies and traditions are worth saying or worth a damn whatsoever. And it needs to be fundamentally retransformed and transformed and transmogrified and mutated and altered from top to bottom, because that's the only way we'll get justice. And by the way, we can't apply law objectively and fairly to every individual in the country, not the laws the way they were written, because the laws were founded in white supremacy and slavery, and therefore they should be invalid when applied to people of color. And you need an entirely separate legal system for them until, of course, you can get rid of that outdated, racist, objectively intended system that was corrupt and perverted from the very inception. It's tiresome.
Okay.
People are starting to see through it, and they're not getting any traction. That's why they're getting more desperate. They're getting more vile and vindictive every day.
All right. I love it. And thank you, gentlemen, for having a good conversation. 602, you're live on the air. Is this my friend King, or maybe it's not 602?
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
The King of Kings. Your Royal Highness, King Webb, everybody.
Good morning, Your Majesty.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
And you have Sarge here, too,
that?
King. Well, right. King, good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah.
And I know that you're at work, and, right. and I'll
you.
Just be, yeah, I'll just leave your mic open anytime you want to join in. Now, my good friend,
right.
Mr. Hotep, and he is a good friend. I like him. Now, he tried to protect me, saying, Brian, what you wrote was stupid. Okay. what you wrote is kind of like a white supremacist kind of manifest. No. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to stand by it. Juneteenth is a bogus holiday that is some kind of, to me, it's some kind of, how you say, let's give the niggas something, you know what I mean? Because we got Biden elected, you know, we're here, let's give them something. And we're tired of taking old used goods. We're tired of it. When we got heroes like Charles Drew, and most African Americans don't even know who Charles Drew is. But we're going to celebrate Juneteenth because Texas said Massa made a mistake on a calendar. Y'all been free for 2 years, and we're going to call it Emancipation Day? Are you fucking kidding me? I will not accept that, when we as black people should have got together and look at the positive of the contributions of what the Tuskegee Airmen Day, the Rosa Parks, Charles Drew. I can go on and on of black Americans who have done great things and great movement despite the oppressions that they were living in at the time. But we're going to celebrate slavery again? We're at the 21st century. When are we going to get that out of our heads? We know about our slavery. We know about this. We tell our children this. There are books that our kids can watch. There are movies, and I was in one of them, by the way, that our kids can see about what is happening. There's so much information, and it's up to the black community to raise our children, and we can't count on the white schools to teach their history about us, when it's our responsibility to teach our history to them. Now, they go to school to get the education that we've got, but if we want to teach them about black history, it's our story, and they should learn it from us, and there's different areas where they can get that information. But to go after the schools with this critical race theory and Thomas Jefferson was not a good guy and all, bullshit, you're turning your energy to history, and we're never looking forward. Never. We are last, and I put this in my thing. We are last in health care. We are last in health care. I told you when I went to the doctor, and a lot of you guys don't even talk, they have a different chart for African Americans. There should not be a different chart for African American. We are last in our diet. We are last in our health care. We are last in owning businesses and owning homes. We are last in almost everything. Family values, when we made baby mamas popular, that is the most embarrassing thing that black Americans could put on this earth and think is, oh, it's fine to be a baby mama. That should be a shameful thing. It'd be a shameful thing that we look at Snoop Dogg like he's some kind of big guy when he's a fucking pimp. And he even says he's a pimp. And we're looking at these idols, man. I mean, we're so busy looking back. And let me tell you about the Civil Rights issue. If you really look at the Civil Rights era, they were fighting for civil rights. We look at Black American issues, Black America, or Black Lives Matter. They're fighting for justice for George Floyd. You should be fighting for justice for all of us. It should be a civil rights issue. And I'm sorry, God help George Floyd. I pray to his family. I love George Floyd. I'm sorry that happened to George Floyd. But if you're going to have that megaphone, don't march against police brutality. March for civil rights. Correct what's happening. And the message was wrong. And then we go to the defund the police. The message was crap. But left media decides to jump on this and say, yeah, you go, black people, which is mostly Democratic, would say, no, that's wrong. Because bottom line is the economy, stupid. And we're not talking enough about investments. We are not talking enough about owning businesses. We are not talking enough about our diet, our health care, our children, our child care. And we're not talking enough about child support and our family values. We are not talking enough about church. What are we talking about? That we're talking about some critical race theory about history, about Thomas Jefferson. Is that a good guy? Because he and all this other thing, and black people have been slaves and all this shit. When are we going to get that motherfucking slave block off our back and start looking forward and say, let's start raising some things. Let's start doing something. Let's start owning some property. Let's start making music. Yes, I wrote that because we need to wake up. We can't keep living in 1867. We can't start living at the white police. Whitey, whitey, whitey is always the blame. It's a white police who did this, and we're always down here. Well, okay, let's march against the white police, but we don't have to march against the white police. Let's march against the sergeant or the chief of police. Let's replace him. Let's change laws. And while we're marching, let's loot some shit because it's Christmas time. No. No, don't do that. And there's not enough of us saying, don't do that. This is our message. Why are you looting bullshit when we're having this message and the world's looking at us and then the cameras are on some fool with his pants pulled down, throwing a brick through a window, and they're looting. And some cops were looting with them. We got to make a stance and say, fuck the slavery. And when I say fuck the slavery, I do say fuck the slavery. It was a bad time. We're free now. But some of you guys don't think we are free because in your head we're still slaves. We got Prince, who is multi-million dollar Prince, musician Prince, and he wanted to get for record label, and he put his name Slave. I go, you ain't no slave. You're a multi-million motherfucker. You're slave. We get this bullshit in our head, and we hold ourselves down. You know, we can go with this. I'm going to do a story. It was, and there's more thing I'm going to talk about. It says, what are the most things that concern black people? And I looked, and I go, you ain't that a bitch. I go, really? Really? And it says here it is right here. I'll read it. And you help me. Five common problems faced by African Americans today. Five common problems, and this was dated yesterday. Okay, let me look. Here it is. Number one. And I hope you join me, but here it goes. No, I'm not going to start at one. Let's start at number five. Number five, African Americans make a sizable portion of prisoners. That's what it says. African Americans make a sizable portion of prisoners. Studies infer that 52% of homicides are committed by African American individuals. Due to this high incarceration rate, every 1 in 9 African American children you pass on the sidewalk may have or might have a parent in prison due to the greater likelihood of African Americans being incarcerated. That's the number five problems that African Americans face. Now, why are we facing African Americans in prison? I have never went to prison. Never. Why are we accepting this? Why are we accepting our children doing shit that we're not hands-on? Why is 52% of homicides are committed by African-American individuals? And you know who they're committed? And you know probably who are the individuals they commit the homicides to? African-Americans. Why? Why? This shit should make you pissed off. 1 in 9 African-American children you pass on the sidewalk, their parents or they know somebody who are in prison. And don't tell me I blame the man. Oh, the whitey did it. Oh, whitey wants to get us in prison. Oh, whitey did it. The three-stop law or what you said, whitey did it. Let me tell you something. Here's what happened, and this happened to me. I worked at a real estate company. 5 a.m, I had to be at a meeting. I live in a neighborhood that, okay, it's not so much black. It's 5% black, and only time it's 5% black is when my family come over for Thanksgiving. And ratings go up. Forget that. I get out. This is all true. I leave my home 5 a.m. for this real estate meeting. As soon as I leave my driveway, I get pulled over. Swear to God, I am not doing a bit. I go, isn't that a bitch? I had the coffee in my hand. I go, oh, shit. Now, I can't put the coffee down because I don't want the motherfucker to think I have a gun. So now the coffee is burning my balls because I'm not wiping it away from my balls. I got burning balls in here because I don't want this guy to think I got a gun. He pulls me over out of my driveway, walks up to me, and he says, sir, I go, yes, can I have your license or registration? Now, white people will say, why, officer? Why do you need my license? Why do you need my license and registration? Some black people will say, What the fuck? What up? What? What do you mean by license? You see what I'm saying? Now, here's what you do. I go, here's my license, here's my registration. These are the questions, because they ask you dumb fuck questions. Okay, sir, do you live around here? You just saw me pull away from my house, motherfucker. Now, these are words in my head. But you don't say that to the cops. Yes, officer, I do. As you can see on my license, I live there. Right? And he's trying to trip you up with some stupid questions. All right, sir. So you do live there. Yes, sir, I do live there. Okay, sir. I'll be right back. So I'm looking, and he runs my license, and I'm hearing it on the radio, no warrants, no this. So he walks back to me, and he goes, Mr. Jackson? I go, yes. Have you ever been in prison? I'm thinking, what kind of question is that? No, I've never been to prison. Okay. Are you on parole? You just ran my license. No, I have never been on parole. Swear to God. Now he starts getting, he goes, you've never been on parole? I go, no, I've never been on parole. Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Have you ever had a warrant? I mean, now he's talking to me. I swear to God, I'm not joking. Have you ever had a warrant for your arrest? No. No, I haven't. These are the questions he was asking me. He goes, have you ever had a moving violation, a ticket or anything in the last 5 years? No, I have not. He goes, are you sure? I go, officer, I have not. He goes, looked at my license, and he goes, okay, you can go now. I said, why did you stop me? He goes, you made an illegal right turn. From my driveway? All right, have a good day, sir. I have never been to jail because I cooperate with the officer, even if he's a dumb fuck, and I said a lot of shit as he left through the window, you motherfucking, you racist guy, and I went to my meeting. What is the moral story over here? We have a good friend named Stanley who comes into the studio, and he gets really pissed off. Good morning, Joe. He gets really pissed off.
Hey,
and people misunderstand.
Okay.
Good morning, Joe. And people misunderstand Stanley. Because Stanley's mad because people don't cooperate. For instance, George Floyd. When the cops were saying, George Floyd, please get in the car. George goes, I'm not getting in the car. Please get in the car. George Floyd said, I'm not getting in the car. I got claustrophobic. Please get in the car. And then there's a tussle going on. Next thing you know, he's shot. Stanley will come in and say, why didn't he fucking get in the car? If you saw a video, there's an older black man right there pleading with George Floyd, please get in the car. Please don't give them a reason. Just get in the car. Stupid shit like this, whether you think it's right or wrong, gets you killed. Why am I going off on this tangent? Because I keep thinking, what the fuck are we doing? When we start doing all this stuff about Whitey, get Whitey, Whitey's to blame, Whitey's why we're down, Whitey's keeping us down, Whitey's doing this, and the left-wing news is keeping us to fight Whitey. Whitey's doing this. This is racism, what's going on here. This is racism. Donald Trump's a racist. This is racism. Hate white people. Hate all Trumpers. Hate Republicans. They're racist. The Democrats are fueling that bullshit to keep us down. And we are not. It's very simple. It's called the economy, stupid. We're not paying enough attention. We're fooling around with this bullshit that we're not taking care of business about investing, about higher education, about we don't care. We don't want no handout from Whitey. We don't need no government handouts. We could put our money into black businesses, and we can grow our own businesses. And if something happens with us about the law, we go to a proper channel. We sue their ass. We bring them to court. We do civil suit. I don't know where that is.
King is God. He's got background noise.
I know. I can't find
he's
it. I can't
somebody.
Find it.
Yeah. Oh, no?
But what I'm trying to say, and so when I wrote this, I was serious. You're talking about white privilege, but what about black entitlement? And we got to get rid of that bullshit. We got to get rid of, I'm going to do a rap song, and I'm going to use the word nigga in it every five sentences. And then when white people buy our records and we become rich in a mansion, and all of a sudden some dudes listening to our song who happen to be white, but we're okay with the money, but as soon as we hear him say the word nigga in a song, we're going to call him a racist and we're going to go after him and kill his ass. That's black entitlement. What the fuck are we doing? or a white person disagrees with us, and automatically we're going to call them a racist. Yeah, that's black entitlement. You have no right to do that. Go. So this is where I'm at right here. And when I see that when I go to a doctor and I hear health care that's a separate from African American, oh, you're African American, sir. Yes, I am. What's that? Okay, hold on. We got to look over here. Or we got to look over here. Because you're a different species than white people. I said, no, my level should be the same as a white person's level. What is a white person's level? Well, their level is here. Why is their level here? Because they watch their diet, they're eating right, they get annual checkups, they get this. I go, what are you saying? Well, black people don't watch their diet, black people don't eat right, and God forbid if we go to a doctor. God forbid. I said, we got to change our mentality. So, yeah, when I wrote this, I didn't write it to be a white racist. I wrote it to take a look at ourselves because you know what? The pendulum is trying to tell us to look over here, but don't pay attention over here and talk about racism and talk about black history when you're not even talking about the present and what you're doing for your future and your kid's future and your college degree. And as long as you keep doing that, we're never going to get to a point where we can go to the White House and actually be a lobbyist and change laws in our favor. I'm done. Joe, welcome to the show. What do you have to say?
I was going to ask King what he did. What did he do with Brian? Because I'm hearing somebody, I don't know, kind of enlightened and kind of changed viewpoints and everything. but I want to know where did Brian go?
I'm just saying that when I got the awareness, and I know you're joking, but when I got the awareness, I had no idea that there was different medical charts for African Americans as far as white people, and I had no idea that there was a lot of lies, you know. And I'm looking at the medical profession, I'm going, my God. Why is it? Because when I was high, my levels were high with the white people, but with the black people, it goes, oh, you're African American. I can see this. Okay, well, you're going to die in about, I don't know, 15 years, but that's normal. We'll get it down. I go, no, wait a minute, doc. Why is there a difference? What do you mean I'm going to die? Well, you know how it is. Right on.
Well, yeah, I know. I know what you're saying.
Number four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. These are concerns that black people are worried about. Number four, the victim mindset. Nothing holds an African-American back more than seeing themselves as a victim who sees everything as someone else's fault without taking the deserved responsibility to such a significant degree that their victim status becomes their collective identity. Comment, Hotep. Comment, Sarge.
Yeah.
Is that true?
If we were in the year 1800 and you were proposing to black slaves that when we see the slave catchers and the master to just behave, even then it wouldn't be acceptable because people had the right to be free and some chose revolution. Now fast forward to 2021 and time of your proposal that if only George Floyd, who told the police, he was afraid to go in. He seemed to be claustrophobic. So in the world that you have created in America, black people, even if we have like some of my relatives, autism, et cetera, even people that are claustrophobic, even people with other mental health problems, even people that say, if a white person can say, no, that's against the law, you're not supposed to ask me that, I want to be silent. We can't have any of those rights, Hammer, according to what you're presenting, because we should forget all the history of rape of our women and children, working for free, lynchings. Forget all that. Every other group can talk about their pain. We can't. We just have to look forward. Then who are we if can't look back at the past? We don't. You're presenting it as though black people, for the most part, some do, but most don't come out and say, oh, it's all white people's fault. It's a narrative that is presented which is not, it's disingenuous. That's a small group of black people. So if you present that, it would be like a person that supports black and brown people saying all white people are bad. That's not the truth. None of that is the truth. You also mentioned that the economy, it's the economy. Well, what is the economy? The economy is built on what? Resources from the third world, sweatshops, Wall Street, and the nation was built mostly by the labor of black people on stolen land by Native Indians. So if we act as though the economy is simply a magical concept without real people, then we miss the point of living wage, sweatshop. You also mentioned, Hammer, that compliance will not get you killed. That is not true. Some people are killed when they comply, not just black, some whites. I know folks
say,
up in school, high school people.
I did not say will not. I said
what
the majority
said,
of time it will not. I mean, white people get killed, too, with noncompliance, too. I'm just saying that don't give them a reason, and we tend to give them a reason. And a reason
no,
could be
I don't think,
okay, go ahead.
I don't think we give them a reason. I think we're in a system that some people ignore the racism, but it actually exists. And if we're going to move forward without addressing the real elephant in the room, which is the racism, then we're telling black people it's the year 1800 and just put on your shoes and do as you say and comply and everything will be fine.
No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that we have to have our mindset for the present and the future, to start investing in our communities, to start investing in owning businesses and owning stores and education and family values and health care, to take care of ourselves and not wait for the handout of welfare or something like this or government funding. We should take
But the largest welfare recipients are white women. It's always the narrative that black people are sitting around lazy, eating watermelon, waiting on welfare, when in actuality, some of the poorest whites in the Appalachian Mountains and the number one recipients of welfare are white women, but people don't critique them. They put the responsibility on one of the groups that's the poorest in America, Native Indians and blacks and Latinos, to fix a problem that they didn't create. Now, if you're suggesting that blacks should open businesses and do that, we do that, and we have done it, Black Wall Street, and look what happened. But we should continue.
Okay, Hotep. If you take a look at the last 5 years of how many black-owned banks or how many black-owned businesses that went bust or bankrupt, let me know. Because we do not frequent, own black people do not frequent our own businesses. We do
yes.
not do that. We go on Amazon. We
yeah.
do not support our community. We want to get the hell out of
why?
The ghetto and fuck y'all. We do,
Amazon...
Okay.
Amazon has lower prices than a mom and pop. So if you're a mom and pop and you can buy 10 pieces of chicken at X, which is $10,
right.
for example, Amazon
right.
could buy it at $1. Now put yourself in the position of any poor person, black or white. You can choose between supporting a person from your community or spending less money and having more for something else. See, the problem isn't the poor. The problem is Amazon. But the responsibility is put on the poor to support themselves and open their own businesses, when if you have $10, you're going to go to Amazon instead of buying at a black business. Just like the economy. We didn't create it.
I don't buy it.
We were
it.
The slaves. You don't buy
I
what?
Don't buy
that
it.
A poor, you don't buy that a poor person won't come to another poor person and give $100 instead of going to Amazon and spending $10 and saving $90? What don't you buy about that?
And where I grew up in Philly, if we had Willie's Barbecue and Beef Ribs, and then there's Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Willie's part of the neighborhood, I'm going to Willie. I may not get as much chicken in a box, but I'm supporting Willie and his business. We don't have that any. Jewish people do that. Gay people do that. The gay dollar became popular because they put the money back into their system, in their community. Everybody puts money back in their community. Except us. We are not investors.
Yeah.
We are customers. Wait a minute. Can you debate me saying that we are customers? We are
Hammer,
never
we
owners.
Are customers. I've said that before. We are the biggest consumers in America. But what you're doing and some of the people that communicate like you is you ignore the fact that the LGBT community tends to have higher income. So you're presenting an argument about a group that is at a higher socioeconomic level than black people. Now, of course, black people should support black businesses. Huh?
But why would they have? Why would the gay community have a higher income than our community?
The gay community. Well, I'll break it down. The gay community, one, can be secret. A person can be gay or lesbian and doesn't have to show it. A black person is black whether they like it or not. So if you work for a company and you're gay, lesbian, etc., you can get a job if you play it off if the boss is a biased person. If you're black, you can't because you walk in, oh, there goes the Negro. So that's one issue that they can get away with. And two, if you look at the arts and technology, the gay community tends to do exceedingly well, even in high school. I know from my experiences from high school to college, the LGBTQ community were doing well, even blacks in the LGBTQ community. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't face bias. They do. And it doesn't mean some of them aren't socioeconomically challenged. But for the most part, it's black folks. And what you can't think is that a person with less money is going to decide to buy black, like you and I, just because it's the right thing to do. Because then they have medical things to pay for.
Okay.
They have rent to pay for.
I understand. We all do. But, Hotep, let me ask you something. Why are we last in health care? Why are we last in getting our diet together? Why are we last in not sending the message up there about the way we're eating and being fit and living longer? Why are we not having these conversations in the black community? Why?
Oh, we are having. There's an event coming up called the Big Black Conference coming up that I'm participating in with some colleagues. We do have it, but the media doesn't cover it. The traditional media narrative is not
fit. Don't say that. Don't say that because we have black media. We got black news. There's black newspapers in my city, in my town. I'm sure there are yours. I'm sure that there is a local news and everything that there's a black representative that said, hey, look, we're having this community thing, and they have humorous story. We cover it.
No, they don't. They
okay,
don't. What you've just responded to my point was that we have black media. My point wasn't whether we had black media. My point was that all media tend not to cover small, positive black events, black and white media. So your response that we have black media, I know we do, and I've sent them the press releases, and some are within about 10 blocks of where I live. They do not cover the stories that I give them. That a press release is about positive black chess events or positive health events, et cetera.
Right. They don't care. It's not unless somebody shoots somebody in the head, it's not news.
Then they'll cover it. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, Sarge makes me nervous when he's quiet because it tells me that he went out and he busted somebody's head. And
he hurt somebody.
So he makes me very nervous when he's quiet.
Actually, sir, I am awaiting your summons to get into the fray.
Sorry, Sarge.
He was joking, Sarge.
My bad.
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking he started a revolution somewhere.
I know.
I'm sorry, Sarge.
I'm the one who's going to start the revolution.
Yes, you.
Okay, that's ironic, wouldn't you say?
Oh, boy.
The counter-revolution, perhaps, yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Mm. Now, yeah, counter-revolutionary, I'm all in.
Okay. But, Sarge, you were in the military. Sarge, you're part of the, I think you're a police officer or law enforcement. You have some capacity in law enforcement. I think you were an officer.
Yes.
And you have seen, and the military, in the 21st century, as law enforcement, you have seen the discrimination. You have seen the oppression. You have seen the injustice in your own ranks.
In my own life.
How do How do they handle being a black man or a black woman in today's police force and knowing that what's going on today or even in the military that we're having problems with this racial divide? And what's causing it, Sarge?
Again, there's a gentleman, a lieutenant colonel, who just had to leave the armed forces. He'd been in the Air Force. Due to his competence and his capabilities, he was assigned as one of the early commanders in the Space Force. And he noticed a disturbing trend of Marxism in the Space Force and throughout the armed forces. He wrote a book about it. It's called Irresistible Revolution, How Cultural Marxism is Undermining the Armed Forces. And as a result of it, remember, like anybody else who writes a book, he cites himself saying, "My opinions do not express the views of the Department of Defense or the Pentagon. They are mine and mine alone." He was forced out of the service, and everything I read about this man and read about in his book, he's one of the finest minds I've ever seen in the armed forces. Exactly the kind of mind you want as a commanding officer. He was making an analysis based on factual, empirical observation, and also the effects it was having on his command and other commands that he saw and knew about. What is going on in the armed forces and the police forces and everything else is nothing short of a revolution. They're talking, I mean, literally a revolution in things that I never thought I'd see the armed forces involved with. This General Miley, this I don't know what this creature is, this four-star general that got up there and lied about Afghanistan, lied about the pullout, lied about the Army's interest in critical race theory and everything else. A toady for the left is what he is. Lied about Donald Trump's actions in Washington Park, in Washington, D.C., he is typical of what that officer was talking about. A military that is no longer interested in his primary duty, doing the national security interests of the United States, I'm talking about its legitimate ones, and being prepared to fight its enemies, it is now focused on becoming a people's army. And I'm talking about like the Red Army, the Soviet Army, the People's Army in China. One that is intended to perform a political purpose for political reasons, depending upon who's in power. And the people that are in power now are not interested in that anymore. They're not interested in an armed forces that defends this nation primarily. They're interested in one that could be molded as a petri dish social experiment because it has to respond to orders from legitimately instituted authority. It doesn't have the option of disobeying them unless they're patently illegal. Patently unconstitutional. And critical race theory is one of those subtle little things that creates changes that are akin to when the Army adopted Auftragstaktik, which is a tactic they adopted from the Germans, a military technique they adopted from the Germans, but to the positive, because it really was a better technique than what the armed forces was using. But critical race theory is one of those theories, like Auftragstaktik, that changes things, but not for the positive, for the worse. What General Miley's saying, I want to understand white rage. What do you need to adopt critical race theory for that for, General? I mean, I'm sure you're reading Karl Marx. You should read Karl Marx. You should read Das Kapital. But you're not supposed to read it with an eye to say, hey, these are good ideas to implement in the armed forces of the United States, because they're not. So what we're seeing, wherever we look around us, we are seeing attempts to transmogrify this nation from what it has been into what it should not be and has never been. And it is everywhere. It is in everything. And like I said, this... When you were talking earlier about revisiting the past and bringing up the past in terms of racial grievance, not in any contextual manner, not in bringing up any attempts to mitigate or remediate the wrongs that were done, when you only bring a history of unrelieved atrocity, then it is clear what your purpose is. Saying that the whole founding of this country, its constitution, its legal system, its institutions of every type, to even include the nuclear family, are illegitimate and must be, in their words, reimagined. You know what the jig is. I do. The jig is up now, and most people are starting to see it.
I agree, Sergeant. I agree.
And it definitely goes for the police force, too. The police force, man... Do you think the police force in San Francisco and Chicago don't know what they have to do to stop these flash mobs? Because remember, the most important function of government, aside from protecting the inalienable rights of the citizen, I would say that concurrently with that, depends upon what sphere of activity you're speaking about, concurrently with that, protecting the inalienable rights of the citizen, is maintaining public order. Otherwise, the government has no reason to exist if it can't do that. None. You don't need to pay taxes to it if it won't do that. It's illegitimate. and must be rejected, and the citizens need to institute their own order if it can. Do you think Chicago police, San Francisco police, Los Angeles police, Philadelphia police all don't know how to get this under control without even needing the National Guard? Yes, they do. They are being hobbled. They are being restrained. They are being disallowed to. It's just that simple. What do you think Kyle Rittenhouse is doing in Kenosha? The authorities literally refused to do their duty. They perimeterized the disturbance and said, you citizens within this perimeter, you are on your own. So what do you think is going to happen? Citizens have to step up when the government refuses to do its duty.
I agree.
And we're seeing it everywhere you look. And it's not an accident. You got Kamala Harris, for God's sake. She was complicit in the Jussie Smollett hoax. Kim Fox,
we're
the prosecutor, the state's attorney in Cook County. She was directly involved.
Kamala Harris. I think she's a chosen one. But she's been under attack lately, and there's some bad press about her being a bitch and not listening, not doing her briefing, and blaming her staff why she's not up to par. She got some bad press lately. I'm not really happy with her at this time. But let's go away from this. We're going to go into Jesse in a couple minutes because that's another thing I got a grievance with.
But one more thing, Brian, you see this whole deal with bail reform? But you see this whole deal with bail reform directly led to the slaughter of 60 people in Wisconsin.
If we could follow some rules of order from the military or police force, that would be appreciated. Hammer, is that the same media? Hold on, Sarge.
But he made a good point.
You in the military and police force, you should be showing
a
bit more discipline.
All right, sir. Okay, spare me, please. I understand it better than you.
How come when it's convenient, people blame the media for black people's problems, and then when it's other situations, like you just did, you use the media in a positive way? Either the media is good or bad, it seems, from the presentations that you and often Sarge give. And Sarge is still stuck in McCarthyism where, you know, the bad guys are socialists and communists, and no one that he mentions from the squad has ever said that they were Marxists, but Sarge is always talking like everybody's a Marxist because he wants us all under the table hiding because the nuclear bomb supposedly going to be dropped by the aliens one day.
Everybody's a white supremacist, though, right?
But that wasn't my point, though.
Look, I don't know if anyone's going to proclaim themselves to be Marxist or not. I know Marxist ideology when I see it. Once upon a time when I used to criticize Marxism, people used to accuse me of not knowing anything about it. And they were right. They were right. I said, you know something, you're really right. I really don't know enough about it. That's when I started studying. Now I do. Now nobody's going to tell me I don't know Marxist ideology and theory when I see it. And they don't have to proclaim themselves to be Marxists. When I hear the language they're doing, when I see Joe Biden appointing a USSR-born communist who attended Moscow University on a Leninist scholarship, when he appoints someone like that to become the comptroller of currency in the United States, a woman who says, we don't need to have private bank accounts, we need to have bank accounts controlled by the Fed, and we need to bankrupt the energy industry. When I see someone like that who's hiding a thesis on revolution in the Capitol in Moscow in 1917 from the Senate confirming theory, then I don't need to know whether or not the people who installed her are Marxists. Okay, I don't need to know.
But then when
and they are making it part of their operational strategy, and that's good enough for me.
On the one hand, he claims that certain people are Marxists, even though they never said it. But on the other hand, when we that defend black people say that racism still exists and we give the evidence, he denies it. So there seems to be either natural delusion in his brain or something induced by some mind-altering substances.
No, it's called epistemology, sir. I look at it and see whether or not what you say is valid about white supremacy.
Okay.
When you make statements like that, stating that people don't want to hear it, people do hear it. but they respond to what you don't want them to do is to respond to it. You don't want them to
respond.
No, I
never said don't respond. I was responding to your rhetoric, and now that you have been defeated, you're trying to do an appeal to
pity. And that is what people will not do.
Thank you, Hammer. I'll wait for you.
That is what people will not do. They will not accept it uncritically without responding.
Okay, but Sarge, to be fair, the woman that you're talking about, it's not a Marxist and not a she is a Russian citizen, but she is an American citizen, too. Very highly educated, and when she was in Russia, her family and her were contained with the Russian army and everything, and they fought to get out of there. She is highly skilled. She is an American. She answered all those questions about Russia. Trump had more common denominator with Russia than she did. Trump was kissing the ring, for Christ's sake. Trump was firing our FBI agent and getting him out of the White House at the same time, kissing the Russians' people's asses in the White House, for Christ's sake. So we can go into Trump has more involved with the Russians than she does. I hate to disagree
right,
with
well,
you. Well,
I don't want to just die. Well, I don't know if you want to sidetrack into the whole thing, because I don't know anything more discredited now than Russia involved with Vladimir Putin and the whole collusion theory.
Today.
I mean, that thing's been so discredited now.
She is an American.
Saul Amarova was a member, was a young communist. She was a young communist pioneer.
We got to put the blunt down sometimes. Yeah,
she was a young communist pioneer.
No, but she wasn't
a
young communist pioneer.
Curriculum vitae.
Okay.
The only thing that's missing is her thesis
reality
on
check.
Revolution in the capital of Moscow, which
Cold
every
blue.
Published work she's supposed
Cold
to do
blue.
Is supposed to be available for the nominating committee's examination.
You're correct. Sarge
is hiding it from us.
The truth, so I think we could just...
She's hiding it from us.
No. I mean, she is born Russian. She's a Russian-born person. She was born in Russia. Sarge is right. She is born in Russia, but she is not a Marxist. She is not a communist. She is an American.
Right. She wrote a thesis entitled Karl Marx's Economic Analysis and the Theory of Revolution in the Capital. Why can't we read
but
it?
I'm asking questions which you're trying to avoid.
I mean, this is undoubtedly giving us an insight into her philosophies. See what I mean about this guy? This is what he does this all the time.
See,
this would give us an insight into her philosophy that would be worthy of knowing for confirmation for a critical governmental decision. And apparently she's trying to keep it a secret.
Hammer's trying to talk. Chill.
Well, we have a active disagreement on her because she's very highly educated. She's very highly informed. She is an American citizen. She was born in Russia. That is true. She did write the thesis. I don't remember when she wrote it, though. I don't think she wrote it recently. But I would have to study more up on it, Sarge, up on her.
No, she wrote it when she was still in Moscow State University getting her Ph.D.
Exactly.
So that would be in the early 90s. It would be useful to know it and to ask, do you still feel this way? I mean, why can't we do it? What is it? She says she doesn't.
She's been drilled on.
Obviously, if you're in a Russian school, you're not going to write a thesis about the virtues of America.
Well, that's why maybe
so
she's
clearly
not a
she did something
to be
sensible to get a PhD, but thought
right,
maybe that's
right.
why she shouldn't be comptroller of the currency. This is the point I'm trying to make. That's why we have confirming committees.
Well, that's what she's on right now. I think they got done with it. She was on the committee for about, maybe a week, and this was like 3 weeks ago or something, and that's where we're getting to the bottom of it. And remember...
Well, do you think there should be private bank accounts? Do you think all our bank accounts should be controlled by the Federal Reserve?
He doesn't follow
the
rules of order.
Do you think private banks should be allowed to let you have a private bank account?
He's skipping to another subject now.
Because she said this. Now you need to ask her. Do you feel this way, man?
I understand, sorry.
In Sarge's world, no one that studied in Russia, no one that studied in Germany, should be a U.S. citizen and have certain positions.
See,
they
here we go
be,
again. See, I made specific
well, that's how you're presenting it,
here.
So if you
know
had
about
any
you.
Intellectual capacity, well, you would know that people could be
okay,
from
good,
any
good,
nation.
Healthy,
that's what makes
good,
America.
Good, debate there.
See, he's good, not responding to the points I raised. Notice that.
I did respond. You just don't comprehend it because you lack some
you
of the gray matter to comprehend what I
said.
Right.
Said
don't
you
blame me.
Have a
go back to kindergarten.
And you have
you
not responded to
other,
whether or not you think
Joe
that's
falls,
a good idea.
You guys talk over each other. Joe falls asleep, and then King starts writing new songs. But,
oh,
I mean,
he's a Marxist. This
King
is what
so.
They do.
But listen,
he is a Marxist.
There he goes. He's the one yelling.
But you, okay. We're going back to the thing. I just want to get, see if they're still here. Joe, are you still awake? King, are you still here? I just want to just test.
Yeah, I'm here.
What?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Thank you.
I'm here. Just
okay.
I'm just kind of waiting.
I want to ask King.
Go ahead.
I want to ask King. Now, King, I wrote something, and I don't know if you read what I wrote for the show. And,
yeah,
and
I was,
it's understandable.
I was waiting for everybody to finish speaking so I could speak on that, but go ahead.
Please do. Please do, King. Please do.
Well, you know, before everybody starts interrupting me, I want to say that, I want to say that, you know, what you wrote, I agree with it all, you know what I mean? I mean, we are lacking everything, you know? We don't want to have common sense. To, you know, do what we should. That's positive, you know. I mean, we still think that getting on social media, going out in public, you know, doing stupid stuff is
right.
Cool, you know. I mean, we always like for an example, and I'm sure I probably got into an argument with somebody on this, but for an example. When we do say defund the police, there's people look at it as in, oh, no, they want to take the policeman away. No.
Right.
There's certain things that go with the word defund, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, being a police officer and just to kill somebody, that's
mm-hmm.
a form of defunding a police officer, meaning if they can't fulfill their job opportunities and
mm-hmm.
do what's right, then they're going to be defunded.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be fired or, you know, held accountable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to policemen, you know, I just want to say that when you are complying with the police, you know, depending on how you carry yourself and your character,
mm-hmm.
it will determine if you walk away. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've seen many of videos where people want to argue, they want to get mouthy. Like for an example, anybody that's got cable or anybody that's got a fire stick or whatever, just like I have
mm-hmm.
a fire stick, I sit here and I watch sometimes, you know, I watch the old episodes of Cops from like last year or whatever, you know, and seeing how these people are acting towards these cops, it'll make you wonder why we get killed. You know what I mean? It'll make you wonder why everyone else of different races get killed. But the common sense is don't do something that's going to get you killed, in jail, whatever.
Right.
So at the end of the day, when we get in trouble, first thing we want to say is, oh, fuck that police, man. That was wrong. We shouldn't. No. At the end of the day, if you knew you had a small bag of weed on you, then why the fuck did
mm-hmm.
you have it? Why the fuck you want?
Mm-hmm.
Why you want to argue? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know your seatbelt is on in the car, and you know your hands is on the wheel, then what you want to argue about? Keep your fucking hands on the wheel. Don't get snooty. Don't act crazy. Do what the cop says, and you'll be fine. But everybody want to
mm-hmm.
make an argument. You know what I'm saying? And me personally. I've did the test, you know, and I've
mm-hmm.
got a chance to see black people. We always want to try to go up against these cops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like for an example, I got a guy right now who is selling hats, and it says "Make racists catch the fade again," and I said to myself. That's another form of stupidity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's like you're causing an issue just by itself, you know? So it's like at the end of the day, we're always going to be last in everything because we always want to put ourselves out there and do stupid shit, you know?
Right.
And I want to say this, Brian. When you were talking earlier and you were breaking this stuff down little by little, I had to make sure that I wasn't on the phone with my mom because me and my mom was having that same conversation, which you were talking about. You know, when things go wrong, we always wanna blame somebody. You know, we always wanna say the white man is the white man next. We don't never wanna blame ourselves and say, you know what, you know, and then we don't never wanna we don't fail to realize that our freedom and other people's freedom is two different freedoms. You know,
right?
We can't We just can't walk into any old neighborhood and think we can go exercise and all this other stuff like everybody else can go walk in their neighborhood. Our freedom is different, you know? You know? So it's like, you know, we're always going to be lasting everything because we don't want to fix anything. We don't want to understand nothing, you know? All we want to do is point fingers, you know what I mean? That's all we want to do. And it's stupid, you know? Like, it's just crazy. You know,
it,
so everything that you're on that marquee, I agree with it all. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Like,
thank
you. It's really no explanation to nothing anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we always want to fall back and say, well, you know what? If it was 400 years ago, it's stupid. You know what I mean? And it's like I'm pushing myself away from people like that now because it's like, wait a minute, you walking outside with a blunt in your mouth. You doing this stupid shit, but then the first thing you want to say is, you know, so I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm sitting back right now, and I'm listening to everybody speak, but to me it's just a bunch of freaking lip service, you know what I mean? Because over the years, it's like we don't want to learn nothing, you know?
Right.
Like, for example, when are we going to do better? When are we going to do better? You know what I mean?
Right.
We
will do better when we quit trying to change history or
convince. Rewrite it.
When we quit having that you owe me attitude as that, you know, you owe me a sorry or what your forefathers did and with my slavery.
Yeah.
We got to get
but
out
that
of
isn't
the slave
what we
mentality.
Say, Hama.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Prince, because King, you've abdicated your throne now. You've become a prince. I just got to let you know we're shipping you to an island.
No, he's still king. No, hell no. He's still king. He's still king.
Brian, in 2020, there were 10 million arrests, or over 10 million arrests in the United States. Let me say it again. Over 10 million arrests in the United States. For violent offenses, there were 470,890. Out of that number, 276,310 whites were arrested. 172,980 blacks were arrested. Now, there were about, all in all, I'm talking about local law enforcement. I'm not talking about federal. I'm excluding federal. This is local law of a state, county, city. Out of all of those people... All of those arrests, including the ones for violent offenses, under 1,000 offenders were killed by the police. And almost all of them were justified. Almost all of them were justified.
I hear you. I hear
now,
you.
I mean, there's almost no context to this. There's really almost no – that's what bugs me about it. There's almost no context. And you would think to hear it that the police officers were killing – And when I say 1,000 people killed, most of those killed were white.
Right.
It's like
Hama,
you would think that they were just gunning down black men every day, and we just had 1,009 homicides in Cook County alone. 96% of those 1,009 homicides were black and brown people, and only 4 white offenders were involved in their deaths.
Damn.
Hama, you all are presenting a moral majority platform.
That's just Cook County.
Damn. Those are facts.
Yeah, the moral majority, Hama, says that if if black people just behave themselves and study.
No,
hard,
we're not saying
and when
that.
They, no, let me finish before you all tear it apart, because this is what some of us on the other side are hearing. And so
okay,
I could be wrong.
Okay.
I'm hearing that if you just have a nuclear family, and when you see the cops, if you have a blunt, just throw it out or don't have a blunt. And if officer, oh, I'm so sorry, officer, that then a lot of these problems that we have would disappear. And if we just spent money with each other, and that is only a part of the problem. I have a blank bank right in my community that only lends if we want to buy cars, but if we want to open businesses, they don't. The problem is more complex than you all are presenting it for black people. We're not lazy and we're not stupid, and it's not that we don't want to work together. We have had Catholic edicts that said we were inferior, therefore our land could be exploited. I mean, without looking at the history, that's why critical race theory is so important. We don't understand why the system is and why people are in the mindset that they are today.
I don't buy it, Hotep. I don't buy it. No. You give a good argument. Totep, I'm not throwing away your argument. I'm not throwing it away. I'm just saying I understand. But the problem of it is that we get so caught up in the weeds about critical race thinking and our history that we are not investing in our future and taking care of what we should be taking care of. And if something happens, we'll blame Whitey on it. What I'm trying to say to you, it's okay. I understand about if I had a child, when I was, I guess my way of thinking is this. You think that I'm like, I don't know what you think I am, but as a kid at 9 years old, I don't know if you call me a revolutionary or anything. I hated white people, and when I grew up, my dream was to exterminate them all from the earth. That was my dream. Because I grew up watching, and it's not kind of funny, but it's true. I grew up watching on the TV that they're beating us, Martin Luther King marches and everything, and I'm seeing the dogs, and I'm seeing them beat us, and I'm seeing the hanging in Missouri, and these are the images that I keep seeing. And I'm seeing the poverty, and I'm seeing this, and everybody, blame Whitey, the man, everybody runs to the man, the police is going to kill you. When black kids are kids, and we don't have a chance to use our imagination. We don't have a chance to dream, because when we're 5 years old, we get the hardcore truth of cops are going to kill you if you do this. Why white kids are saying, Santa's coming down the chimney, Greek kid, you know, don't forget your cocoa. We are hit with this, and this reality is not so much reality, but it's more fear that you will die. You know what I mean? And as a child, you get that in your head, and then you start losing the value of yourself. Like, don't think you're going to be an astronaut, boy. White people are not going to let you be an astronaut. You think you'll be president of the United States? Only Barack Obama was president, but he had half white in it. I mean, we're inundated with negative stuff. If not negative stuff, we're inundated with fear as children. And then we lash out. Am I wrong, Sarge? I mean, King, am I wrong? I mean, somebody say something.
You know, it's like I said, man, it's always, you know, the arguments, sometimes the arguments from the left are reductio ad absurdum to the extreme. And you just mentioned an example of, here we got a guy, Barack Obama. Not, by the way, not even a natural-born citizen, they still let him be president twice.
No, sorry.
Okay? And here's the thing about
that
it.
Is Mr. Conspiracy.
And then the complaint is, well, he's half white.
Right.
You see what I mean? It's reductio ad absurdum in everything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We've had 46 people president of the United States, and a black man held two terms as one of them. 46 human beings in the history of the United States, even though they were all white men, yes, up until Barack.
Right,
Still was only 46, and he's one of them. You know, I mean, and he's not even, wasn't even really constitutionally allowed to be in, but since everybody was scared to even have the issue examined, they just let it go. Now they're doing the same thing with Kamala, who's a complete moron.
Oh,
I mean, a complete moron.
Dog, okay, with the black politicians
and the president.
Okay. I just want to finish the story. Thank you, Sarge, for my God,
for the
you're
fantasy.
Destroying my heroes. But thank you. Thank you for your thought.
You're welcome. Anytime I can, I'm always here to help.
He meant to stop. He didn't mean to keep going.
But I'm just saying, when I was 9, I wanted to destroy because of the image I saw. My mother, luckily, was an educator, good family in Georgia, very upper class, very educated. She got a hold of me. And she got a hold of my Black Power t-shirt with my fist. She got a hold of my Malcolm X shirt. She got a hold of Minister Farrakhan.
She goes, oh, we lost you early. I thought it was just happening.
No, no. She got a hold of all that. She goes, Kemmer boy. I go, yes, nine. She goes, the only thing that you have to do, I go, what, is to stay black and to survive and to live. You're not going to go against the man at 9 years old. You're not going to kill Whitey. But what I want you to do is become more powerful and scare them. And go, how do I do that? She goes, use their system. Learn their system. Learn their education. Learn what they do. Learn their weaknesses. And when more educated, because we live in this kind of world, and once you're educated and once you learn their system and how they think, you can become powerful and you can help us get to a certain point. So she used that psychology on me, and I said, okay, that's how I can do it, because you're not going to help nobody when you're in jail. You're not going to help nobody if you're dead. So this is a system, and you may not like it, but this is a system that will get you a job. This is a system that will get you a home and get a roof over your head. You may not like it, but this is a system that works for them. Use their tools against them and then become successful and then help our people. This is what she taught me. And I'm telling you right now, when I was in the doctor's office and I started saying, why is there a different chart for African Americans? Why is it a different this and different this? And in the medical profession at the year 2021? And then I started thinking about health care. We're last in health care. We're last in investment. We're last in owning business. We're last in education. We're last in keeping our family unit together. And we come up with phrases like baby mama and all that bullshit. We're last in child support. Why is that? We're last in dental care.
First in terms of proportion, in terms of killing our babies before they even get born.
Right.
39% of all abortions are done on black women of childbearing age.
Right, and I just saw that. You are absolutely right. And we're first in putting our
men in
prison.
But who are the abortions done by?
Okay, here
they're
we go.
They're not done by abortion doctors in the hood
of every
hyena.
Race.
They're done by the white establishment
hospitals.
Abortion
doctors of every race.
No, you missed the point, Todd. You actually tell
right.
it when
he
you want to.
The percentage of black women
the
getting abortions and black girls are getting abortion is higher percentage than the white people. I looked it up. I seen it thing. I did see
and,
it.
And who owns
why
the hospitals?
But why
well, because
is that?
we're commodity.
Democrats
we're consuming.
Hold on,
Sarge. Sarge, can you show some police restraint and law enforcement restraint? No,
like
I was talking
answer,
to him, not
is.
You. It's not
well,
your show. I was
answer.
Talking to Hammer. Hammer, the reason is that we are in a system, S-Y-S-T-E-M, mm-hmm. that wasn't originally
okay.
designed, made for us. It was made for the white male. It wasn't even made for the white female, nor the Native Indian. And so we haven't come together. Like you see on the radio, it's difficult for us to come together. I think of you all as being inside a Venn diagram with me, but you all mm-hmm. think that the Venn diagram is – you're the big circle, and people like me are the small circle. So it's a religious thinking. Like, my mother is religious, and she thinks
right.
that I have to fit into her circle. I say, but, Mom, not everyone
right.
is that religion. What about Buddhists? What about atheists? What about agnostics? So for
right.
you all to apply
you.
Your thinking to people like
right.
me when unfair, I include you all in the discussion, right, when I'm thinking, but then I say, well, not everybody thinks like you all, guys. Some of us blacks think we have to do more to fight racism. We have to end the police brutality, right? But you all see it another way, and that's where the, you know,
well,
some
no,
of the lack
no,
of unity comes
in. We can't see it another. See, that's the problem, Hotep. We can't see it another way, and we got to stop fighting the system and learn the system. We got to, this, you know, fighting the system that we use, what they call society, and we're going to always be fighting the system and not move forward. Now, the civil rights movement, in fact, we fought the system. But did we ever move forward from the Martin Luther King marches and everything? Yes, we have.
Nope.
There's no longer colored bathrooms. Wait, you could say no, but I'll say yes. There's no colored bathrooms left. Yeah. They're only fucked up, and we had affirmative action. We could get a job right now. Any black person get a job right now. Even immigrants can get a job right now. People are hiring left and right. Nobody's keeping us for that. Nobody's keeping us from education. Nobody's keeping us from church. Nobody's keeping us from doing any fucking thing but
education.
Us.
It's jobs
nobody's keeping us from
barely working.
Who's stopping
wage,
us from getting an education?
Jobs.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, okay.
I was just on with I was just on the call with another educator discussing the problems in our state with
right.
the black schools, the failures at the school,
mm-hmm.
and discussing with a headmaster his challenges
right.
because the district isn't providing the resources that he needs for his kids
right.
to succeed. So yeah. They
yeah.
opened up the schools for us, but our schools are typically inferior, often because of real estate property taxes.
Yeah.
Some schools get more because they get more.
So
you
then
know?
What is the objection to, the school funding, the educational money follows the student. In other words, the parent gets to choose where to
there
send
you go.
The child. Public schools,
yeah.
private.
There you go.
Why is there so
there
much objection from the left to doing that then?
Sarge, it's not from the full left. People like me think that's a great idea. In fact, I homeschool.
Right.
I get hardly no money.
But
so, no,
me,
that's a good idea.
You,
let the money follow the child.
Right. Hey, you guys agree on something. Look, we're making headway. Let's stop right there. But, you know, when I hear black people, people of color, I'm calling brown, too, Asian. We're going to throw them in there because all of a sudden they got hated this year. So they're in the mix. But, you know, if you're 34 and you say, I don't want to go back to school and back in the day, what's stopping us from going online and getting an education like white people are doing? What's stopping us from going online and getting an AA for one of these online universities that white people are doing and say you come out of the pandemic with an education? What's stopping us from doing that? White people are doing it, and it works. I'm going to go to, you know, we have a quiet voice here. He hasn't really been speaking. Let's go for the average white guy, Joe.
Joe?
What's your opinion?
The white representative.
Yeah, the white representative.
And now
the minority
Joe,
white
the white representative.
Yeah. Joe, what are your thoughts?
What do your people say?
Yeah, I like to thank you for making me laugh to speak. that's racism, right? Okay.
Oh, Joe, your phone. Oh, Joe, your phone. Let me see.
My phone?
Yeah, your phone is really bad. Keep speaking. Maybe if I stop talking, your phone would be better. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Hopefully this is a little bit better. If now, I'll call back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use a different app.
Go ahead, Joe. Wait a minute. Joe, the question is, how does white people in this society view all this critical race theory? How do you view what's happening in this world? Are you afraid as a white person that you are guilty of a crime that you didn't commit? Just talk to me and everybody. I'd like to know as a white person.
Fuck no. Why would I feel guilty about what happened before my ancestors got here? Why would I feel guilty? No.
No, that wasn't the question.
So,
it wasn't before your ancestors. Your ancestors are the ones that came and took the land and had the slaves. That was the question.
No, it wasn't the question. You got to perk up your ears. And secondly, if my ancestors came here before all this bullshit happened about slavery, then my ancestors had nothing to do with slavery. So you can't perk up your ears. But the thing is that a lot of white people feel that the CRT is probably there to try to make whites feel guilty. I've taken a look at some of the CRT, not the full curriculum, and it seems that they're just trying to, from what I've seen, just trying to let people know about some, not even black history, but the fact that there is what is perceived to be systemic racism. I've asked people, do you believe systemic racism exists? They all say, yeah. I say, give me some examples. And I always get, oh, come on, just look all around you. And I say, well, since it's that prevalent, give me some examples. That's why.
Well, maybe it's your friend's circle that can't give you examples. Would you like some from me or someone here, or no?
not right now.
If my friends couldn't explain to me about the Irish potato famine and they were Irish, I would get other Irish friends.
Interrupting. Don't interrupt. All right. Because I'm talking to Hammond and the rest of you. So whatever you want to apply to Sarge and other people also applies to you. I'll let you know. Okay? So that's the reason why I wanted to have a particular debate moderated by me where we can keep on track. Where people like Hotep, if you wanted to participate, if you've got statistics, if you've got more than empirical evidence to show systemic racism, that would be information that should be spread to other people who don't know about it. But
good, and I only responded because you paused. Because you didn't agree to what I said, don't use that as evidence that I cut you off. You had paused.
I said I would let you know. There are things as pregnant pauses. It does not mean that's a reason for you to jump in, violating what you consider to be your own rule.
Okay, we can move on, my white friend. You can move on now.
My little white friend.
The thing is,
he's showing some privilege right now.
There was an obvious pause in the middle, and I waited for the pause.
And it was long enough, and then I interjected, and because he didn't like what I interjected with, he tried to make it sound like I cut him off. Come on now.
Maybe you ought to go back to your space, like those women who harangue those white guys at Arizona State University. They would
let
all
him talk.
Space,
he's
remember?
Talking now.
Joe, tell him to let you talk.
He's cutting you off.
You're not centered now. Why aren't you centered in your own space?
Can I ask Joe one question? Joe, how do white people feel in a woke society now? If you had to answer the question, how does white people deal with the woke society?
If they're recent college graduates, they're all with it because that's what they've been brainwashed to believe. If they're middle class, upper middle class or beyond 35 and 40, seems to me that they're just scratching their heads and saying, what the fuck is going on here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
White people believe it or not. Oh, when you said you were going to put Chinese in the mix for brown people, let me tell you something. Asians, they don't want to be part of the brown people mix. You're not going to get more prejudiced people against blacks than Hispanics and Asians. White people are in control of power, money, et cetera, yeah. But if you were to meet the average white guy, the average white woman, and have a conversation versus the average Hispanic versus the average Asian and have a conversation, you will find more underlying and undercurrents of racism from Hispanics, not even underlying currents, and Asians than you will from whites.
Yeah, that's usually
but I
true.
I agree with you in that, and I am that people, black people, should look forward. But there's nothing wrong with looking back and finding out about the history. When people dwell on the history to use it as an excuse to stop moving forward, that's when you all get stagnant. Yeah, atrocities happen. Does that mean that you have to just get over it? No. You look at it and say, "Holy fucking shit, happened." But then you look forward and you say, keep on going, Joe.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep on going.
And then you say, we shouldn't let it happen again. Follow the example. Jews, because of Kristallnacht, never happen again. And believe me when I tell you, they mean it. Otherwise, and Sarge will know about this, cold in my ear during, what was it, the 1974 Olympics, 72 Olympics. Yeah, 72 Olympics, I think it was. When
that is correct.
Munich, right. When the terrorists came in and they started blowing up, I think, where the Jewish athletes were being housed.
Yeah, they're the Jewish wrestling team. They took a lot of them hostage, and they wound up dead in the shootout attempt to rescue them.
Old Golda Meir said, we're getting those motherfuckers. It took them a few years, but she took Mossad and she said, go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's when you look back at the history of the Jews, the and there's a lot of controversy about whether or not the ovens were both satisfactory enough to kill 6 million Jews, but that's neither here nor there. The thing is that they said, never again.
Never again.
They meant it, but the Jews,
right?
Yeah.
The Negroes of the world, the one time, okay? The Jews, everybody want no Jews allowed, no Jews here.
Mm-hmm.
Kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And they and they said for Israel. Well, Israel, I don't know if that was their land or not to begin with, but that's another story. But people have to got to look forward. Don't forget the past. But don't use it as an excuse not to put elbow grease in to accomplishing your goals. So that's the way whites feel.
Well, see, but the thing about it is, and I agree with you, Joe, and let's go back in history. At one time, Jews were slaves to Ethiopians who were black. And when there's one guy says, hey, I'm going to free you and take you to the promised land, I forgot his name, Moses. I saw the book. But you never heard a Jew say, you know, back in the day when we were slaves, and they sold us for a bagel. You never hear them talk about that, like in the present tense. Now they'll go Germany, where we got exterminated. But what I'm trying to say is, black people did have the power back in the day, and we enslaved white people. But what I'm trying to say to you is, I understand our history. Our history is terrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. But I'm saying, we, like Joe just said, why aren't black people, now that we have the civil, see, to me, the civil rights movement, they're all heroes. They died for us to not look back and relive history. They died for us to move forward for the chances we can thrive on, and we're not taking advantage of it because we're so busy with this chip on our shoulder and say,
but
you owe us.
But that's not why they died, Emma. They never
that's
said
why they
that.
Died.
No, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, none of them ever said, I am dying so that you never have to look back at my death and at your history.
Well, they never said that. But I'm
no,
just saying,
of course not.
I was using it as a metaphor, but what I'm trying to say is that the lives that were lost during the civil rights, and some white people's lives were lost too. And people, when we go back into history about slavery, we have to also add, there are some black slave catchers too, catching our own people, sending them to the Eastern. But we're not putting that in history.
Yeah.
How come that's not in the history?
Well, because
I have never read it.
Outliers. There were also Russians working for America, but that wasn't the typical. So we can't use statistical outliers to justify the general population.
I see.
All right.
But we
I tell you something. I think, speaking of history, because look, I don't think there's too many people in the world who enjoy history more than I do. So I'm never going to stop reading about history and attempting to learn from it and extrapolating those lessons to the present. But what irritates me to no end is people who go, I call it slavery pornography. They go back in time and they look at the atrocities committed against black people, and then they expropriate those sufferings and then attempt to imbue themselves with the sufferings as though they experienced it personally. And then they leverage it weaponize it and leverage it in order to obtain some advantage in the present. I think that is loathsome, and it's all too common today.
And that's my point for the whole thing I read. Thank you, Sarge.
That's problem.
My point.
Big problem.
But,
again, a statistical outlier. Now, Sarge is right that there are some people, not only black, of all ethnic groups, who take the pain of their group, leverage it for financial gain. That is a part of the reason why the black Moorish community are not attaining success like they should, because most of our leaders are fake. So they go out there and talk the guy.
I agree.
We all might agree on this one. They talk a good game as preachers and politicians, right? But then they go and get the deal. Who did it? Jay-Z. Don't work with the NFL. And he went behind closed doors and did one of the biggest deals. But they are, again, statistical outliers, because not every black person is Jay-Z. So what happens often is some of you may see certain images and conclude, well, why can't you just be like Jay-Z? You could be a big rapper, when in actuality they're the ones that have sold us out. But thanks.
Well,
and I agree with What's the brother's name? The light-skinned brother. Joe. I agree with Joe that in the Asian community, very... No, hold on. I said light-skinned brother. Come on, that's cool. I've forgotten. I'm getting old. Joe, that wasn't bad, right? If Joe had said, what's the dark-skinned brother's name? I wouldn't be insulted.
Okay.
I agree with him that a lot of the Asian and Latino community have racism, but it's mainly Japan, right?
You're 100%. You're 100% on that. Yes, you're 100% on that. But I'm just saying. Listen to. Okay, I'm gonna go over it really quickly. Somebody stop me if they disagree. Really, so we can end this and go on, Jesse. Really, just stop me if you disagree. These are the facts that concern...
Disagree.
African...
No, just joking. I didn't even finish. What's wrong with Odell?
African Americans today. And I'll just repeat it. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just tell me when you disagree. Number five, African Americans make a sizable portion of prisoners. Studies say that 52% of the homicides are committed by African American individuals. Sarge, do you disagree with that or agree with that? 52% of the homicides are committed by African American individuals.
That's a factual matter. It's pretty hard to dispute given the fact you have offenders and you have dead bodies.
Right. Number four, African Americans have a victim mindset. I'm going to go to Joe, and then I'm going to go to King. Here's Joe. Nothing holds an African American back more than seeing themselves as a victim who sees everything as someone else's fault without taking the deserved responsibility. Joe, do you see that in the mindset of African Americans? Joe, do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I think for one, when I get on the black shows, it's always, well, Whitey's to, you know, hold me down, and Charlie's doing this to me. Let's hang the honkies and all that shit. But then, you know, if you ask him, well, what kind of elbow grease did you do in order for you to try to accomplish what you tried or said you tried to accomplish? I get cricket, or I get muted, or I get the tap dance.
Right.
Now, is there racism? Again, I would like to see properly compiled statistics about systemic racism, and we can go from there.
Okay.
I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist, but
see, I don't like the word racist. I don't care if you're racist. Racist, I mean, I have been around racists. They don't bother me. I go above them. I look at them as chances. You're a racist, I'm going to own you. I'm going to own your parents, I'm going to own your house, and I'm going to evict your stupid ass. But so I don't think when I come across a racist, I don't want to combat him and say you shouldn't be racist, because he has a right, or she has a right, to have their own views. Like, I have my right. So racism to me does not affect me at all, but I understand it can affect other people. Okay, here we go. I go to King.
Oh, can I answer that before you move on?
Sure. Go ahead, Hotep.
What you said is a big difference between you and I, and why a lot of times some of your presentations don't agree. Like, I call the show not because me personally, I don't have the academic and the other skills and the martial arts and kids that are doing well, right?
Right.
So your mindset is different from mine. Your mindset seems to be, hey, I'm going to run into a racist and I can own, you know, put them out and this and that,
right,
and I'll be better
right.
than them. My mindset
right.
is, how can I make it better so that someone like me doesn't have to go what I go through, because I could do the same thing you say, but there's
right.
a bigger picture. See, I don't think insularly. And
right.
so that's why a lot of times our presentations, yours is more
right.
insular and mine is more communal and tribal. And
right.
so that's interesting.
Well,
thanks.
Well, since I love your point of view. I do love your point of view. I guess my mindset is I cannot change how a person thinks. And my mindset is and he's not the only one. It's all around me. And so, therefore, therefore, I'm going to accomplish, it's almost a challenge to me saying, okay, this guy thinks he's better than me, blah, blah, blah. Maybe he has a better car than me, and blah, 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 and he's not as educated as me because I'm holding back my
head. A bigger Johnson.
Now, see, you go with the Johnson. He
How
doesn't have a bigger Johnson.
This accent
now,
today?
I throw that down. Yeah. Hey, hey. Stop it.
What's your thoughts about
he's got
that? What you're saying? That if you meet other people of
bigger
racist
Johnson.
Attitude,
yeah.
Where the, and don't hurt people, then a racist is a toothless tiger as long as they keep the gun in their holster.
Right.
But, right, other blacks don't see it that way. Black people will see racism as always being around the bush, always being around the corner, and always keeping them down.
Right.
There's a difference.
Where do you get this info, Joe? What show
but
are you calling
true.
Where they teach you this?
But
where?
That's what most white people, well, you know, I think part of what
I don't think he's out of bounds saying that.
What's that, Sarge?
I don't think he's out of bounds with
but
that observation.
I'm
talking about among the perpetual. Look, most black people do not belong to the ranks of the perpetually aggrieved. But among those that do, that is their prevailing viewpoint, it would appear.
Right. I may not agree with it, but it's facts. Here we go.
It's not
okay,
facts.
Kings.
Oh, my
okay.
goodness.
Who's that? You're the one who's always
well,
saying
go.
Black
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead,
Black
Jeff.
People, systemic racism, right? That's what your
right.
Particular.
No, you broke up, Joe. I'm sorry. What was the what you say at the beginning?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get my. I think I have to position my.
You got to get off that
right?
cheap phone, bro.
Yeah.
I feel better now. I got a better phone than a white man.
I know, I know. We have overcome.
There's no racism. Hotep is happy. Welcome, Hotep. Finally.
Yeah,
we've been waiting on you, brother.
Look, we have a cheat.
I have arrived.
So the look, thing is, I, you know, I can't, look, I can't specifically speak to the extent of racism among white people because I'm not a mind
Joe
reader.
Was
okay? And,
right.
And I don't pretend to be a mind reader like
right.
a lot of people. A lot of people do pretend to, but I don't. But I'm going to
okay.
tell you this
yeah,
much that
you.
I think I can also accurately say. But white people have learned at least not to be openly racist.
He's
even though they may be privately racist. The most openly racist people I hear in public life today are the perpetually aggrieved black people.
I,
they are the most openly racist people in American
society. I agree with Sarge. I agree with Sarge 100%. All right. Joe, is Joe back? Because I got to ask King the question.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, if I finish, I'm sure King before the half
finish.
Hour is up.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Okay. King, are you here? King, are you here?
Wait a minute.
I don't know if
yeah.
that's here.
Finish
King.
Yet.
Okay, King, this goes King's to you. Joe.
Hammer.
Okay, King, this goes to you. Tell me if you agree or you don't agree, okay?
Brian.
Joe's still talking.
Brian.
Joe is getting
Joe.
Some black treatment today. This is what
Jesus
it feels
Christ.
Like, Joe.
You get off that burner phone.
White
conservatives.
All right.
Joe, you got a burner phone or something, man? It's all burnt out.
I know.
Joe's got two cans with a string.
He does, doesn't he? King? King, are you here? I'm going to ask King. Tell me, King, if you agree or if you disagree, okay? King, number three,
Hello?
High abortion rates. It is estimated that 30% of all abortions in this country, 30%, King, of all abortions in this country are done by African-American women. Do you agree or not agree?
I disagree, you know.
Okay.
We're not the only race that are getting abortions, you know. I believe there's other races who are getting abortions. I mean, look at you got prostitutes out there making their money. You know what I mean? You got strippers making their money. You know, it's not just us, you know what I mean? So I would have to disagree
okay.
with that, you know.
Okay.
In every state, abortion providers are required to report the ethnicity and number of abortions provided on women. They don't, of course, they can't give their name, but they are required to report the ethnicity of the woman they did the abortion on and to the respective state health department. That's where we know these numbers. We are getting them from state health departments that report them to the federal government, and I wish it was 30%. I believe the last figure I saw was 39%. And in places like Washington, D.C., more black children are aborted than are born.
Yeah.
Thanks to Margaret Sanger and Bill Gates' father. It's true. Margaret Sanger's name was removed from a building at a Planned Parenthood in New York because she was tied to eugenics and racism.
Okay.
And she was the founder of Planned Parenthood. Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's how we know these numbers. We got a pretty good idea because, like I said, every abortion doctor legally is required to report the abortions to the state health authority.
Okay. Now, this question goes to Sarge. Number two, dangerous cities have high African-American populations. Dangerous cities like Oakland, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Detroit, where gang violence and crime is an everyday occurrence, has a high population of African-American people who live under the government of Democrats. Do you agree?
Good God, there's few things in life other than death and taxes being inevitable that I agree with more. The Democrats have a particular style of governing that lends itself to higher crime rates. Witness the types of district attorneys installed by monies like George Soros provided, like Chesa Boudin, like George Gascony, like Larry Krasner, like Kim Gardner, like Kim Fox. These are typical of these kind of Democrats that enable an atmosphere that violent crime and disruption will flourish. I'm telling you, there is no stronger connection I know of to make.
Okay. So basically, yes. Okay. And here we go. And the last question, lack of family structure, and this is for everybody, and then we'll move on to Jesse. Lack of family structure, according to 2002 study, 70% of all African-American children were illegitimate. Listen to this number. 70% of all African-American children were illegitimate, and that number rose from 23.6 back in 1963 because that was the year when welfare became a right according to the Constitution, which made having husbands redundant. Too many African American families grow up without a father figure in the house, which often leads to psychological issues later in life. Anybody disagree with that? Mike?
Yes. Disagree because in California, the Republican counties have worse crime trends and higher violence, according to the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. And it's the Republicans that think that just having a nuclear family solves the problem. Poverty exists in Japan, and they have gangs. It exists in China, and they have gangs. It's not about the skin color poverty. It's crime, street crime. And what do we call crime? The Wall Street executives stealing billions or millions?
Right.
No, we call the street dudes selling weed and stealing chicken.
But, okay, I understand the crime, but Hotep, it says 70% of all African-American children were illegitimate. 70%. That had nothing to do with crime. 70% of all African-American children were illegitimate. Do you disagree with that figure? That's 70%.
I have to disagree because that sounds high, but it wouldn't matter because I don't think having a parent around is the sole determinant. If you have a good school, good mentors, and great financial opportunities, you can do just as well.
Okay, good answer. I want to ask Joe. Joe, are you surprised at that number? 70% of African American children were illegitimate. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I was. The last figure I heard was a couple of years ago. It was around 53%. And I thought that was fairly high.
This is according to the 2002 study. So you might be correct, but this is 2002 study.
It's worse now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. See, just, look, most of these children do have a parent.
I think Joe was going to talk.
Most of them have a parent. That parent is a mother.
Sorry.
You know, what they're missing is a father.
Sorry. Am I coming across clear now?
Yeah, you are.
Am I coming across? Okay.
Yes, you are, Joe.
Yeah, well, you're really weak, man. It's hard to hear you.
Okay, well, in any case, I'll let people know when I stop. Will that be the definitive factor to make everybody know?
Not for Sarge.
Well, actually, like I said, I can't hear you, so their phone is going in and out.
We heard
right,
you.
With that, I'll let
Sarge
you
just cut you off.
Through, if you hear me through the veil, if you hear me through the brokenness, and I say,
okay, now you're coming in much better.
Oh, am I? Okay. Well,
yes, you did something, and you got actually you got loud.
What he did was he got your attention, Sarge.
No, no, he was getting louder. It was actually louder.
Of all the black people in the studio, the white guy has the problem.
I know, the phone.
Well, we have. Never mind. I was going to talk about it's the app. My phone service is free. I use wireless. I use voice, so I don't pay for it. So that's one of the drawbacks.
What do you use, Joe? You broke up.
Voice over internet protocol.
What did you say?
What you pay for there?
Voice. Voice over.
Oh, VoIP.
Come on.
Okay, yeah.
Come on.
That's problematic,
okay,
Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
The internet connect. Yeah, that's problematic sometimes.
Yeah,
I know. Here's the thing, okay, before I get cut off and disconnected or whatever this thing's going to do for me. Yeah, I did find it surprising, but thing is the 72%, that by itself is a damn good reason for any particular ethnicity or nationality or race to take a look at it within itself and say, what the fuck?
Right.
We got to do something.
Okay, but think about this for a minute now. These kids got a parent. They got a single mother usually as a parent. What they don't have is an involved, meaningful father. To say that it doesn't matter and it's just a, you know, a father is a nice-to-have accessory like a Gucci bag or something means that you're saying fathers are not essential or important. Black men in their children's lives are not necessary. I maintain that they are. No matter what other factors are involved, I say to you, the black father is vital and essential. And to do without him is going to result in a diminished outcome no matter what other factors are involved. Whatever they are, it is worse when you don't have fathers. Fathers are important to rearing their children, particularly young men.
A child could
agree.
He took the point to left field. A person could have a single parent family and still have a father. So his position is rather unfounded.
Hotep, it is true that many black fathers are absent from the home, and that's not because of welfare or anything like that. And I'm a big advocate of keeping a black family unit together. But it seems to me that black men don't seem to have the responsibility. If you go to divorce court, you're not going to, it's very rare to see a black man, and I've been in these divorce courts and everything on studies, fighting for his spousal support. Fighting for his kids to be with him. You're not, white people do it all the time. You see white people in divorce court and they're fighting over child custody. Black people are not fighting over child custody. They're fighting over, damn,
it's
I have
expensive.
To pay that much money? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah,
I don't
expensive.
Even know the bastard.
But if you were to visit Appalachia, you would find the same problem with white fathers. It's a poverty issue. So if a male doesn't have much money, he's looking at the responsibility. Now, by the way, I'm
good
not
point.
Like this. Most
good
of my
point.
Comments, I'm not this. I'm just defending the underdog. If you have less money, you're going to look to cut costs if you don't have ethics. Some of us have ethics, and even with limited money, our kids stay with us. But in our capitalistic system, people are taught to put our children first, so they choose the money. I don't think it's the black father's fault. I think it's capitalism.
Too many of us are branding our children. But let me defend
how come there were so many black fathers with their children when they were a lot poorer and had fewer opportunities then?
Right.
I mean, you literally have to ignore history to not see the obvious.
Right.
80%
of black fathers were with the children in 1965.
Right.
80% lived with their children.
See, it's ugly fact that we have to look, and we keep making excuses why and how come and what condition put us in this situation to make this decision. We got to stop that and just take a look, though. ugly, the ugly things that we have done and we have neglected and not been responsible and been held accountable. And until then, we cannot move forward. Here's another thing. I just want to defend the mothers for a minute. When you have a single mother and you got two kids, and she's working two jobs, she's hardly, she's trying to do the best she can. And a lot of times the children are left alone because you can't afford child care. Only white people can't afford child care. We're not talking about child care in the black community. You're not talking about child care in the black community. The streets are your babysitter. And that's never a subject in the black community. And you know, we talk about all this other shit, but
Hama,
we're not talking about child care.
But, Hama,
okay,
that's not true. In my community where I live, child care is always on the table in discussions, et cetera. Maybe in some communities it isn't. Yeah,
but you are
that's
an
all
exception.
I can, you know.
But Hotep, you are an exception, and I will say that. But I'm not hearing it on NBC and everything, blah, blah, blah. And we're not here. Black people do, when it comes to black people, we are not talking about child care. We are not
because
talking
not,
about health.
I'm sorry for interjecting. Our liberal media doesn't discuss it, but it is
you
an issue. The liberal media often is playing us.
Right. You are
100%
right.
And Saj raised a great point to counter my point when he said,
well,
how come back in the day?
Agree. Oh, my God.
No, I agree.
Both of you guys agree.
No, truth is truth. How come back in the day, 100 years ago, a black father could be poor, but he would try to take care of his kids? Today, a black father that has a cell phone is still poor, might not. And that's a big question mark that needs more analysis and research. What's the problem?
Well, I'm going to concede something about single mothers as parents. Most of them, I don't want to get the wrong impression about it. Most
Sergeant
of them are the very
everybody.
Least adequate.
It's a breakthrough. You heard it on
Hammer
Show. Go ahead,
Sergeant. I don't want, anybody to unfairly think I'm unfairly characterizing single mothers. Most of them are at least adequate. Many of them are outstanding. That isn't my point. When there's pathology involved. Okay?
Right.
Remember, I was arresting these young kids without fathers. And I would have to go to the juvenile hearing for the juvenile. You know who the only parent there was most all
the
time? The mother. The father was never there. Whenever I arrested a juvenile for a serious violent crime, it was inevitably 98% or more of the time a fatherless young man. Now, there's got to be a correlation there somewhere.
Such, there's a reason
especially
a lot of the brothers
back,
have police records
when,
and they don't want to show
I
up.
I know empirically
oh, come on,
how important,
that's not
how
fair.
Important black men were me when I was growing up.
That was,
oh, damn.
I'm serious.
You're ashamed of yourself. Did you
no,
hear what he said, Sarge?
A lot of brothers.
Sarge, did you hear what he said? You stop.
No, I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
Brothers have a police record, so don't want to show up. It's true.
They what?
Sarge, you're right.
I'm laughing.
And I'm going to ignore Hotep. I'm going to ignore him. Okay.
Wait, what did he say? I missed what he said. What did he say?
He said because the reason the black father doesn't show up because they have police records.
No, not all, but a lot.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, you're taking my words now. No.
A lot of them. I can see him not show up if it's an active warrant out for him, but if they're going to show up.
Such the police precincts and you cops are not the most friendly people for us black men. We ain't showing up even if we got nothing to check.
All I know is how important black men were for me when I was growing up, because they would box my ears when they caught me doing some wrong shit, and they had the approval of my father to do it. And it was the same thing with many of the others.
Me too. And speaking of upstanding black men, King, are you here? King?
Yeah.
Hold on, King. This is for you.
I'm here.
King is a single father who takes care of his children. His children are the first on his mind, the last thing on his mind before he goes to sleep. He lives, breathes, and will die for his children. He takes the responsibility. And every time I see King, it's just that he's an inspiration, and he should be a motivation to most people his age. And when I say his age, maybe 30 and over, 30 and down, and he's trying for his, and he's doing his musical career as a single father, but he's a family-oriented man. And that's what makes me proud. Right, King? I'm just trying to say that is one upstanding guide right there. And that's what I'm trying to say.
As a single father myself, I salute you,
let
King.
Let
and
King
you
respond.
Keep on,
yes,
brother.
King.
You are really one of the examples out there of black manhood.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Even though he likes his hoes.
And you know, I know some people probably disagreed with what I was saying earlier. And I'm just gonna correct this. I would never be brought down to a prince. I'm always gonna be a king because I think about shit before I go out there and do it. So to that remark that was made earlier, let's just get that straight, you know what I mean? But
you might not
agree with what I was saying, but I think about things before I got there and just do it, you know what I mean? I was blessed to be in a home with both of my parents. I was blessed to be able to sit down and be talked to, learn stuff, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people today, man, they don't want to, a lot of parents don't sit down and teach their kids anything, you know? You know? Just like one example, I was listening to you, Hotep, when you were saying that you homeschool your children, you know? And I've been strongly thinking about doing that. Why?
Oh, cool.
Because the public schools today, and I want to say not just public schools, but private schools, all these schools today, it's almost like they don't teach a damn thing anymore, man. You know?
Yeah.
They don't want to. They rely on these kids to use their iPad for them to do the work for them, you know what I mean? But back to the point, you know, I'm always going to be a king because I do things that I normally don't even do, you know what I mean? Like, for an example, I'm off work for the rest of the year, but at the beginning of the year, I'm going to be back to work, you know what I mean? You know, I'm not normally always on this station like I was, you know, because I was busy working, you know. I don't normally take my time out to go out there and help people that need help because with this virus going around, I don't want to get sick, but I take my time out and I help others. I do what I do, you know what I mean? But as a single father, I try to make sure I think about my kids before I go out there and just do anything, you know. And I believe if we had more adults out there that would take time out of their day to help others, man, I think things will go well. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm starting to see that now. I'm starting to see a lot more people, you know, be more courteous and everything else, you know what I mean? But as a single dad, you know what I mean, I do what I do, you know what I mean? I try to be an open thinker, you know what I mean? I try to think about everything, you know? So, you know, anybody that got offended by what I said earlier, you know what I mean? My apologies, but I can't really apologize too much because when you think about it, it's the truth, you know?
Oh, King.
Hey, King, nothing you said was offensive.
Wait a minute.
I was just making a joke about
friends.
I just disagreed. It wasn't offensive. It was just a disagreement.
Hotep said it was a joke when he said that. Okay,
yeah,
it was a response that I did. I said
he's
going to be the emperor. He said, and he disagreed with me too. So you and I agree. So he says, okay, King is no longer king of the press because of that comment. But he was just joking.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah,
it was
nothing serious. Nothing serious.
He's still
there. Well, homeschool. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
And for homeschooling,
okay, listen, I got to move on. I only got a couple of minutes because we got one more thing.
Okay.
Jesse Mollett thing. Because we really got to hear this. But before we move on, like 111, you're live on the air if you want to say anything. 111, before we move on. All right, before we finish this up, oh, God, there's a lot. God, there's like 10 people just came in the studio. What happened? 347 dropped. Who's 347? Sarge, are you still here?
Yeah, more.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up this one. It might be Joe. It might be Joe and his app might have died. 111, you're live on the air? Okay. If you guys,
yeah.
I mean, really, really quickly, guys, because I want to move on to Jesse. If you had to send a positive message to the African community who is listening right now, each one of you, what would it be? I'll start with you, Joe. What would it be?
If I had to send a positive message to the African community, I would say, know your history, learn from it, But don't dwell on the atrocities of the past. Don't use them as an excuse not to go forward. Keep moving forward there. And if the racism does rear its ugly head, then it's unfortunate, but you have to battle it and just keep on moving forward.
Thank you, Joe. How about you? Wait a minute. Sarge, what would it be? A positive message.
Here's the positive message. The positive message that is essentially being sent by the endless streams of illegal aliens trying to get in this country. They understand inherently and implicitly that this is the country of greatest opportunity, no matter what its faults are. Its faults are many. Its faults need to be addressed. But the fact that you are living here is a testament, is basic evidence that you can improve your lot in life. Even if you want to concede the fact that white people have thousands of opportunities and you only have hundreds, you still have them, and you need to make the most advantage of them when you can, given your talents, your attitudes, your inclination, your hard work, the networks you can form with others, and the strength you can get from prayer to your God. I guarantee you, if you do that, the overwhelming majority of you are going to succeed. That is a guaranteed bloody tea, and everybody really knows it. Everybody really knows that's true.
Wow. Thank you, Sarge. And that's a man from the military and law enforcement. King, the King of Kings, your Royal Highness.
And that's the shortest that I've ever heard Sarge ever speak. Congratulations, Sarge.
You're going to ruin
Let's
that moment.
Let's go, Joe. Let's go, Joe.
And the King of Kings.
I was congratulating you. I don't understand.
And King, if you had to send a positive message, Joe, it's always that one guy, right? That one guy. Okay, but King, if you had to send a positive message.
It's always me.
What would it be? The African minute. Yeah.
I would tell them that you're never too old to learn, and you're never too young to learn. Education is very important, you know. Also, I would tell them, if you get $500,000, don't just take it and go out there and go and buy cars and jewelry and shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Take that money and build you a house. You know what I'm saying? Build you a house that you can afford, okay? Then I would tell them, go buy you a couple of properties, you know what I mean? Take that money and invest in something that's going to keep you financially stable, you know?
Right.
So, you know, basically, that's what I would tell them because, and I'm saying this because I see I give this as an example. The area that I used to live in, I used to see guys riding around with $50,000 to $100,000, you know. And I was always, confused, not for myself, but I was confused for them because I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell are you doing, you know? And so, you know, you have younger people and you have older people who were influenced by that. Oh, I want to be like that one. No. So that's why I say if you making that much money and it adds up to, you know, $500,000, take that and go build you a house first. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Build you a
mm-hmm.
house, then you can take some money, go get you a couple of properties, and you can rent them out, or better yet, you know, take that $500,000, build your house, but take the other half and try building a school. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
Or something. You know. Do something smart with your money. Don't just be stupid. You know what I mean? You know? And of course, you know, education is important. So you're never too old to learn. You're never too young to learn. But that's what I would say, you know? And we forget to say that. You know what I mean? I mean, some people
right.
may say some other things different, but we forget to really tell our people that or everybody.
That's
that,
true.
You know what I mean? Because
that is
they
true.
Don't they think once they get that money, man, they go out there and get cars and floss up and all that kind of stuff. But it's like it's sad. And one of the reasons why I say education is important is because I believe the school system made a big mistake when they took out the elective classes. And if anybody knows what I'm talking about, the elective classes were like cooking, wood shop, you know what I mean, welding or whatever, you know what I mean. I believe they made a big mistake when they took that out because in some part in those classes, you would talk a little bit about financial literacy and how to save your money. So that's what I say, man. It's important, but, you know, I'll be quiet. I'm going to let somebody else answer.
No, thank you, King. No, you said it right, and I believe what you're saying, and you're absolutely right, because you are talking about investment. You are talking about investing in the family, and you're talking about growing and saving. Yep. I hear what you're saying, and thank you, brother. I mean, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And
Here's what I don't like.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Here's what I don't like. Nobody interrupted King.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Everybody interrupting me, but no.
Hey, you got the reverse racism going on here, Joe. Deal with it.
I'll handle it.
We were not interrupting you. We're just trying to get through your phone and find out if you're on a delay.
I know. I'm hearing it now. This fucking phone is fucking up on me.
Let's
get
all the Rachel wine in here. I know.
Talk about white privilege. Nobody interrupted.
Oh,
everybody interrupted me.
Oh, well, I mean, look, hey, every once in a while, huh? Okay. All right. I get no respect.
I talk here on this show and look what happens.
And
they interrupt me.
Jesus Christ. I showed up on a show the other day and they said, hey, who's he?
Actually, though, man, hey, man, you don't get flocked unless you're over the target. That's a sign that maybe you're kind of hitting the mark.
Oh, man. I got
to be grateful for it. It's a good sign that maybe you're effective.
It could be. I mean, you're right.
That's
you know, you get the flock. But you got to hear Brian do fucking Rodney. He does it better than me.
No, I don't. Nobody does it better. No.
But you're pretty good. Yours is pretty good, I got to admit. Yeah. Really good. You mean, Brian is better than that?
Brian did do a couple of skits that were better. I'm sorry, Brian. I did mean to encourage you. Do not bring back the mad fucking comic, okay? Jussie Smollett, where are you? Where are you, Jussie?
David Chappelle hit it out the park, so you got to work to do better than that, man.
He did. I only got 18 minutes. I'm going to get right to him right now because this is the funniest shit. I'm going to get right to him. But first, I want to hear Hotep. Hotep, positive message for me. Positive message to the African-American community. Did we lose Hotep? Wait a minute. 917, you're on the air.
Hey.
917.
Yeah, my battery died.
Okay, Hotep.
And King brought up some good points. I didn't hear the others. Education.
Okay.
I would say more specifically anatomy, because if you know your body, you can heal certain things, not everything. You can get deeper into martial arts, track and field, basketball. You can deal with child labor and sexual interactions better. Also, history, more specifically the history of the African-American, the Native Indian, and the African, because we're going to get the European history no matter what. And also financial literacy, to understand stocks and bonds and fiduciary responsibility, et cetera. Okay? And also learn some chess. People think it's light, but the game of chess is amazing for the level of patience. You see, I deal with Charge all the time, and I usually keep my cool, right, Charge? So learn chess. And also learn English language, because even though some of us think it's a slave tongue, it is the tongue of the nation, and you must learn to master it so you can go into boardrooms or the street and
very
have
good
discussion. But to do the street, you got to know some Ebonics, because who wants to go out there sounding like the Queen of England talking to some thugs? So you got to have a good balance. Also learn about spirituality and the way myths and the white Jesus was used to enslave many people, especially darker humans around the world. And finally, I would say learn law. Because if you understand the law and the Constitution and criminal law, a bit of corporate law, a bit of intellectual property law, you can protect yourself and your family. I come from a single family, different from King, so that's why sometimes I think our perspective is good. But now I have a wife and kids, and I'm doing my best with them, and King is doing his best. So we're all on the same page, same with Joe, same with all of you, Hammer, and even
well,
Sarge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hotep. Even Sarge. Okay, thank you. All right, right to it. Jesse Smollett, here we go. Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle says it the best. What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody so you can listen to this. All right, here's Dave Chappelle, and we'll talk about it. It's only like 6 minutes, and we'll talk about it on the other side. So I'm going to mute everybody so we can listen to Dave Chappelle on Jesse Smollett. He does it a lot better than I can, and you'll get the point, and then we'll talk about that. So don't leave. Just mute it for Dave Chappelle. Here we go. Okay, and okay, and here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jesse Smollett, and here's Dave Chappelle.
Being attacked, it happens to the best. Don't ever forget what happened to that French actor. Just afraid of being attacked, it happens to the best. Don't ever forget what happened to that French actor. You know what I'm talking about? Juicy Smollett, he's a very French, very famous French actor. Y'all never heard of Juicy Smollett? Juicy Smollett is an actor from France. And he became famous on a show called Empire. One night, he was in Chicago late at night and was the victim of a racist and homophobic attack. You see, Juicy Smollett is gay and he is black, not just French. Oh, it was a crazy story. Apparently, when he was walking down the street late at night, two white men came out of the shadows with MAGA hats on and beat him up. Tied a rope around his neck, called him all kinds of niggas, and put some bleach on him and ran off into the night. This shit was like international news. And everybody was furious, especially in Hollywood. It's all over everybody's Twitter feeds and Instagram page. Justice for Juicy and all this shit. The whole country was up in arms. We were talking about it all the time on the news. And for some reason, African Americans, we were like oddly quiet. We were so quiet about the shit that the gay community started accusing African American community of being homophobic for not supporting him. What they didn't understand is that we were supporting him with our silence. Because we understood that this nigga was clearly lying. None of these details added up at all. He said he's walking down the street in Chicago and white dudes come up to him and say, "Hey man, aren't you that faggot nigger from Empire?" The fuck? Does that sound like how white people talk? No white people. They don't talk like that. Are you that faggot nigga from Empire? They would never say that. It sounds like something that I would say. If you're racist and homophobic, you're not even gonna know who this nigga is. You can't watch Empire. Black people never feel sorry for the police, but this time we even felt sorry for the police. Can you imagine if you was a police veteran taking this kid's police report? Okay, Mr. Smollett, please tell me what happened. All right. Well, 2 a.m. You left the house at 2 a.m. It's minus 16 degrees. All right. You were walking. All right. and where were you going? Subway. Sandwiches? That's when the men approached you? Did you see them? Do you have any? Okay, what do they have on? MAGA hats! MAGA hats on in Chicago? Excuse me 1 second, Mr. Smith. Yeah. Frank, come here for a second. Find out where Kanye West was last night.
There you go. Dave Chappelle on Jesse Smollett. There you go. And that explains it. So Jesse got on a stand. It was funny.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck, man. Oh, shit.
Now, this fool decided to be his own lawyer. He's testifying, but he's acting as his own lawyer. And what did they say? If you act as your own lawyer, you got a fool as a client, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's not going well. I could play some other stuff, but this is another funny. So this is off of YouTube. So they're doing a parody on what happened to Jesse. It's visual, but you should hear it audio about what's going on, and it's only a minute. So it's a parody of Jesse Smollett at the attack that night, and here's how it sounds like.
Are we going now? To go now? Right now. Aren't you the man from the Empire Show?
That movie?
Yes. Got a problem?
Yeah.
Why do you
doing around
guys,
here?
Guys, come on. The accent. More white, more racist. Hillbilly. KKK.
Okay.
Hey, nigga. Stop right there.
What are you doing in our camp?
Aren't you that nigga from Empire?
Yes, I am. I'm the gay Tupac. What's good? What's good?
What the hell you doing over here?
Get more aggressive, more aggressive.
That's the wrong shit. Rope around his neck.
Let me fight back a little bit. Let's fight back.
All right. Ow, that hurt, nigga. What the hell did you do?
More bleach on his nigger ass.
Let me get the water. Get that real.
Hurry up.
Stop doing it, please. This is MAGA country now, nigga.
You don't belong here. We don't like
your gay single ass over here. Don't you ever bring your ass around here, nigger boy, or we'll beat your ass again.
Please don't do it, please.
Hit him one last time to show we're serious. And run away so the cops don't see anything that we already did.
All right.
Why? Why me?
That's a parody.
Oh, man.
You know, I don't even know where to start here. He acts as his own lawyer, so he admitted, and I'm trying to find it. First, the guys said they never met Jesse, and Jesse approached them to do this thing. And then Jesse takes a stand and says, I know him. We were having drugs, and then we had sex, and then we made out in a bathhouse. And it's like, dude, you're really hurting yourself. I'm trying to find it right now, but I'm going to go to Sarge where I find it. Sarge, just what do you think?
Brian. Brother Brian, look, I grew up in Chicago. When I was my neighborhood was racially integrating, I was a victim of regular attacks from gangs of white boys in Chicago. I think it was about, I'm guessing, I slotted my blood out of my mind because I was usually caught by myself, or maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 of them, and they would whoop my ass, you know. And I'd say about 5 or 6, 7, maybe 8 times I got beat. Now, you know, I'm like 13, 14. So, I understandably, when someone mentions Chicago in connection with hate crimes, I'm going back to like 1964, and I'm thinking to myself, man, yeah, I know it was pretty bad back then, all them racist white folks in Chicago, but you know,
right.
Then I'm a police officer. I'm trained to evaluate evidence. In fact, let's see, 2 a.m. in the morning,
mm-hmm.
You got a sudden impulse to go out to Subway sandwiches. It's 30 below zero wind chill factor.
Right.
And you all of a sudden encounter in Chicago, Illinois, a couple of white men who say, this is MAGA country, happen to have a bleach and a noose handy to saturate you with and put around your neck. You know, I'm not just
yeah.
looking at this is the stuff he's reporting now. So it's not like I'm not fabricating anything about the guy. And then
right.
what was even more startling after all of this was the immediate reflexive rush to his defense and his support by you think people who would know better, but then you realize they are simply zombies following a mindless ideology that requires them to march in lockstep with homophobia, racism, and reparations. And then you understand how all this could have possibly unfolded. Just sheer, utter madness to even think this had any credibility whatsoever. And like I said, right now I'm looking at a list since November of 2021, and it goes
right.
back about 4 or 5 years, 448 incidents of proven hate crime hoaxes. I can
mm-hmm.
give you chapter and verse, dates, names, places, everything, that were
mm-hmm.
adjudicated in one way or another, either through a criminal
mm-hmm.
trial, finding guilty, a civil lawsuit, a confession, a reprimand, or some other sanction. 448
mm-hmm.
fake hate crimes,
wow.
and almost none of them, the percentage of white people doing hate, and there were some white people making some hate fake hate crimes too, but I'd say it's about 4 or 5% of them. All of them are people of color. Bullshit. All of them. And remember, I'm speaking of ones that have been adjudicated now. I'm not talking
right.
about ones that were just alleged, and there was no
right.
real outcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, here it is. I got to just read the little paragraph, and you guys have at it. It's like, actor Jussie. J-U-S-S-I-E, Smollett. He testifies him and the accuser shared drug-fueled night at bathhouse together. Former Empire actor Jussie Smollett. He testified in his defense Monday. He's saying he and his accuser spent drug-fueled nights together at a gay bathhouse. That's what he said. He's saying Smollett, 39, testified that he and Abel met at a nightclub in the fall of 2017 and shared cocaine together. The actor also said he and Asandero also went to the Steamworks bathhouse in Chicago, where the pair continued to do drugs and make out with each other. We're in a club. This is how he sounds when he's on his stand. We're in a club. You go to the bathroom. You go to the stall. You do a bump, and then just kind of keep going in, and then we went to the bathhouse. That's what he said on the stand, according to the New York Post. We all did drugs, and we all made out. That's what Jussie said. He also added there was touching, things like that, but the pair didn't get sexual until the next trip to the bathhouse. We went alone this time. We got a private room together. We did drugs, and we made out a little bit, and this time we masturbated together. That's what he said on the stand. Smollett testified that he met Sandero's brother, Ola, at a strip club earlier on the second night of their bathhouse visit. Prosecutors then asked Smollett if the brother, Ola, knew about Smollett and Sandero's club activities. The actor said the assumption was yes, of course. He didn't because we had to sneak out. So basically he was making out with both brothers and they didn't even know about it. Okay. So they snuck out. Now, Asandro testified about his own acting career working as an extra and how he met Smollett while appearing frequently on the show Empire. Asandro added Smollett and the two brothers had a discussion of who would punch the actor. There you go. So these geniuses, and go on and on. I believe
hey,
he
Brian,
said there was going
forget,
to be a camera.
Don't forget the check that all but said in the notes section, supplies for hate crime hoax.
Exactly.
Okay?
He wrote a check to him.
And also the video of the Asandio brothers buying the rope, the bleach. They got him on video at the hardware store.
Exactly. And he wrote a check.
Can I add, please, that Sarge made a claim that many crimes are hoaxes. The New York Times has an article that says of 21,000 hate crime cases between 2016-2018, fewer than 50 were found to be false, and of those 50, only a portion of them were black people claiming to be attacked. And this was February 22nd, 2019, by Audra Burch, B-U-R-C-H, so I just have to counter Sarge's support of white supremacy. Thank you.
Well, anytime you also want me to verify what I've said, I'm prepared to do it.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I got the cases right in front of me. I save them for when people challenge me on this.
Well, I didn't.
So you can look for it for yourself.
I'm showing you that of 50,000 in one region.
I'm talking about the hoaxes. I want legitimate cases to be investigated. I'm talking about the hoaxes.
Okay, what do you think it means when it says false claims in the article?
Look, I've got the actual cases. I have them, the names, the dates, the locations, the outcomes,
okay, so
the police departments that were involved.
Your source supposedly is more credible.
Names of the,
we understand,
you want to hear about the one
thank
where
so much.
Church blamed arsons on criminal opposed to the message of social and racial justice? December 20th, 2020, Kansas City, Missouri.
It's worth every penny.
Arson investigations underway, and it shows it was a hoax. Smith College.
Not saying there aren't
found
any
no
hoaxes.
Evidence of discrimination.
Logical fallacy. I'm saying it's
okay.
not as bad
again,
as you're making
again.
It seem.
I mean,
okay, back to
whatever
him.
Whatever that article says doesn't negate these instances.
Now back to Hammer Jackson.
Yeah, but whatever
the article says you have is not being specific. Both of you guys could be right, depending on what region, what year, what time, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we don't know if it's all in 2021. We don't know if it's 1995. I'm saying I'm sure that Sarge has good documentation as well as you, Hotep. But we can all agree that Jesse is fake. Can we all agree that he's a hoax? I mean, come on. Ridiculous. I don't know what his point is, and I don't know why he's taking a stand right now. I really don't. What's going on with him? I mean, is there a crime or somebody suing him? Why is he still being tried as a crime? Why is he taking a stand right now? What's going on? I don't know.
You know, because he lives in an echo chamber, man. Everybody around him tells him how wonderful he is and what a victim he is, and he's imbibed all of these narratives and memes, and he lives in an echo chamber. He really cannot conceive that other people in the world might not see things the way he does. He literally probably is utterly incapable. He's probably surprised to see the reaction against him. He never expected it. These guys live in bubbles, especially in Hollywood.
I guess
so. Yeah, it's not a black thing, Hammer. It's a celebrity thing. So it shouldn't be made to seem that because he's black, he's delusional. Many rich celebrities are delusional because people around them say what they want them to hear.
Are you being facetious? Because I'm believing you. Because I'm believing you, Hotep. I don't know if you're being facetious, but I'm believing what you're saying.
No, he's right. I can agree with him on that one. He's right.
Okay.
It's true. I'm saying what Saad is saying, just making sure. It's not really color. It's some rich folks and some celebrities, they get whatever they want, and they don't learn until it's too late.
Look at that, how you guys agreed on about three things out of 500.
Yeah,
Sarge
is learning. Yeah, Sarge, I can imagine.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, truth is true. That's not malicious. I may be wrong, I believe in objective truth. We are living in a world increasingly where objective truth is being rejected. Critical theory is all about rejecting objectivity.
Oh, now he's going to drag critical race theory.
Yeah, I have to,
nope,
because it is.
So good,
oh,
and
no.
We were so close.
Next.
Well, that's why I think it's important to search
we
for the truth.
Up,
I mean, many
we
people no longer believe there's such a thing as objective truth.
Okay. Oh, well.
Here we go.
You know, this is what makes the world go better. I want to thank everybody, you know. What's tomorrow? I don't even know what tomorrow is. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Wednesday? Okay, Wednesday.
Yeah.
The show will be on at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. 11 o'clock Eastern.
I assume we're talking about AM?
AM, sir. AM. AM. I have a couple of meetings I got to go to, and you know the Klan hates it when I'm late. I am the I'm the feature story, the show and tell. That's for you, Hotep.
I thought that was for me. Like,
yeah,
you know,
for
okay,
you.
Joe. I thought it was.
Don't make
not.
Me go with the comic.
He's
don't
the
make me go with
wizard.
The comic. All right, I want to just thank, again, fuck you, Joe. Thank you for coming in today. I love you, hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You're funny, and you, and I love the disturbance that you cause and keep the
yeah,
conversation
the quality
moving.
Of the phone calls.
Really? And leave your white privilege
that,
at
Joe.
Home next time.
Yeah, I'm really gonna try.
Thank you, Sarge, for coming in and making the conversation forward and giving some credibility regarding the situation with law enforcement and how the world are
and
viewing.
And cutting
them.
Off everybody.
No. No, you got a good point. Thank you, Hotep, for coming in and giving me a different point of view and holding me accountable for what I wrote. I really do appreciate it. I expect nothing less, and I respect all you guys hold me accountable. Thank you so much. Love to hear your voice. King of Kings, I can't say anything more but great things about you. When I watch your posting on Facebook, your kids are wonderful, and you know what? You're my brother. I love you, King. Thank you for coming in.
Well, we love you too, brother.
Thank you. And I think I got everybody. This is what I hate when I do it individually.
It's me.
Who is me? I hear that voice.
It's Mark.
Who?
Mark Smollett.
What's your name?
Jesse Smollett.
Mark Smollett.
A Mark Smollett.
Oh, really?
Mark Smollett.
Well, hey, how are you?
Wait, they're coming for me. Okay, people, I gotta go.
Okay. Thank you, Mark Smollett.
Mark Smollett. Yes, Smollett.
I guess so. And there she goes. You guys make the show good. I hope I didn't forget anybody. Did I forget anybody? I hope I didn't. All right, and there's about 8 other people who are 111 that did not answer, and I see the ratings, and it's good. You guys miss me. So I'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, with more topics and great guests like Sarge and Hotep and King and Fuck You Joe and everybody else. And Smollett might come back in. Who knows? Yep.
There she is.
Are you still here? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Mark Smollett.
Really? Where are you from?
I'm calling from a dungeon.
And are you a female?
No, but I could be if you because.
Oh, I know.
Sarge,
it's
for you.
I know.
Sarge, it's for you.
Hey, Joe.
Sarge,
it's
for you.
Sarge, it's for you.
Sarge, it's for you.
Okay, I'll buy it.
One moment, please.
Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, my. Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
What am I going to do? I don't know. All right, everybody. And
at least
you
didn't hear the mad comic.
You'll hear them tomorrow.
I know. Oh, God.
You'll hear them tomorrow. He has the worst jokes. Nobody likes him. That's why he's angry. All right, everybody. The Mad Comic will come on with new material tomorrow, too. And bye, Miss Whoever You Are, gender neutral person.
Bye-bye, sweet boy.
You know who it is. Brian, you know who it is.
Who?
It's Miles.
That is not. Is it? Is
yes,
that really?
It is.
You think it is? Is this Miles?
So.
Is this Miles?
No.
It could be.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
It could be if you wanted to.
So.
How much do you pay?
I bet it is. I forgot the Miles' other name. I forgot.
Cole?
Oh, Cole.
You think it's Cole? Is this Cole? Yeah, it is Cole. Okay, pretty good. Good ear, Joe.
That was good, Joe. I like that, though.
Good ear, Joe.
Yeah, no, I like that.
All right,
that.
Guys.
He says, Max Malay.
He had me going, too. He really did. Pretty damn good, Cole. You got me. Pretty damn good. See you guys tomorrow, everybody. Bye.
Everybody, take care.
Take care.
Bye.